It's the Tiltcast, episode 116, Lovecraft Lane.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about Fez, Secret World, Sleeping Dogs, and a whole bunch of news. Stay tuned.
Get it right, Holly.
Sorry.
Jesus.
And welcome back.
Yeah!
So anyway, this is Holly. Hello. To my right, we have Justin.
Hey!
Hey! And then to my left, we have Trent.
Die.
He's always so happy. Always. So anyway, what have you been doing, Justin?
I can't smile anymore.
I don't even find humor in this. I'm so tired.
I've been up to a lot of stuff. I've been working a lot. Nobody gives a shit about that. But I was talking to somebody today, it was today. We're talking about winning stuff.
Winning stuff?
Yeah, just winning stuff.
Okay.
One girl told us about her luckiest day in the world, or luckiest day ever. She talked about, like, winning upon winning upon winning upon winning. Like, she started off the day and then won, like, a handful of tickets at, like, a carnival or something like that. And then she found a pack of smokes when she was out of smokes. And then she went to the casino and played 75 cents and won $800.
Fuck.
And then this older guy on my team, who's like he's an ex submarine commander. Like, it's weird having him as one of my employees because he's controlled the lives of different seamen. He's weathered. He is a salty dude.
I've controlled the lives of many seamen.
I have too. I've murdered millions.
So have I.
Yeah, many have washed up on the shores of Dry Sock. So.
But he just, out of nowhere, like, we're just sitting there talking, he's like, you know what? Only thing I ever won was a clap. This is like, that's awesome.
That's fisherman humor. That's sailor humor right
there. I was like, it just came out of, like, nowhere, and I couldn't help myself.
See, she'd be a harsh mistress.
But he's always coming up with something funny, witty to say, so I appreciate working with him. Though, I got a new set of employees starting the end of this week, and I got to do raises and all the like, and that's real stressful. Because you want to give everybody a raise, and you know you can't give everybody a raise because 40% is your input, the other 60% is how well they've done throughout the year, so.
What if you just don't give them a raise and you get a raise?
That doesn't happen that way. I'm on a different budget.
Well, maybe it should.
Well, no. I like my guys. I had a good crew. But, so yeah, I've been doing that, and I'll be doing that all through my weekend and trying to balance that and gaming and girlfriend and everything else and making sure that I'm not stressed out while I do it all.
Yeah. But
other than that, I really wanted to go drinking. That didn't happen, and it's been a really lackluster New Year, to be honest with you. It just hasn't been a whole lot that's happened.
It came out on the 19th.
Yeah.
I will be at work till 10 o'clock.
So?
We're going to be there for quite a while.
Bars don't close until 2.
I think that's going to be an all-nighter for me. I think I'm going to be there till like, bar close.
Oh, okay. I'll try to make an appearance.
I'll have to watch myself. I can't drink that much because I have long ways to drive.
Sorry.
No.
It'll make my legs tired.
Yeah, just going to drink.
You saw my knees. My knees look terrible.
Cry me a river. I'm working on shit, bud.
I am.
Isn't it strip me a river?
Strip me a river. Strip me a river.
Should sing that song. You're on the roll.
I just did. I'm
keep
not.
Going.
No, I'm already done. That was it. That's all you guys get. You're welcome.
I never hear her sing.
No one ever does.
Do.
Yeah. I do it in my car by myself.
You mean that's not your act at night?
Singing?
Yeah.
I'll sing whenever I'm on stage, like, to myself, because I get bored, especially during the day.
It's the entire time.
By the time Nickelback comes on, she's like,
Luckily, there's not a lot of Nickelback being played anymore. It's all dubstep, which I can...
What about Creed?
I can understand. I can
the
do
dubstep.
Do you hear, a lot of strippers doing it to Creed? Like, maybe the Bucktooth kind of weird ones?
Not really. Not that much anymore. Like, there are a lot of girls that play country now, which is fucking stupid.
That is just
dubstep
weird.
Doesn't surprise me. Like, I don't have anything against you if you like dubstep, but, like, I've just hit old man mode. I just hear...
That's the point.
And that's all I hear all the time.
The drops and everything, well, and you're just like, that was a good job.
Well, there's different types of that, the glitch genre, and that the dubstep is just straight, you know, like, no offense to Skrillex, you know. I've gone to see him. I have some of his music. It's fun, you know. But
yeah, but wasn't dubstep like a completely different genre?
Yeah, it was.
Ago?
It was, but now it's all combined into this one, pretty much.
It was really fucking slow and didn't have
drops. Yeah, well,
and
it wasn't slow. It was still like 120 beats to like 90 beats per second, sorry, per minute, but it was... It actually had structure, and it was good, and it was basically just like old industrial music.
Like, it something came from Britain, didn't it?
Yeah, it was basically a mixture of like old industrial music with cool little drops and wahs and crap. Wub-wub, as you might want to call it.
I don't think I heard any wub-wub. I had a buddy. Yeah. I have a buddy of mine that's a electronic music snob.
Remember that night we went to the Eclipse, and we were hanging out down there, and they were playing that dark step.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
That's kind of the okay, cool version of dubstep stuff. And I'm like, that's kind of... They have glitch hop, which is actually pretty fun, which is basically hip-hop with a bunch of the glitch kind of stuff, like Glitch Mob is
a
good example of that.
All right.
And I like them because they're actually very structured, very well
I guess music, you hear it so much, it just kind of...
Yeah.
I guess I just like... I'm going back to that day when I was... Mm-hmm. Like, me and you were like teenagers and young adults when we would... try to like something nobody else likes.
Yeah.
And when somebody likes a thing that you like, you're like, fuck this.
No, I can't like it anymore.
Right. So...
Yeah.
Right.
So part of me is like that.
That's kind of what happened with The Cure with me. I just reached this point with The Cure. I was just like, I'm done.
I can't believe you ever liked that fat crying clown.
When you're 16 and you're dating nothing but like cute little goth chicks, yeah, you end up like... But I like Peter Murphy better. I always liked Peter Murphy.
I'm all right with Peter Murphy.
Yeah,
I am not alright with fucking Cure dude, Robert.
It's like you go back to like Cure, like Killing an Arab and stuff like
how
that.
How do I not know
fun.
This guy's name?
Robert
Smith.
Smith.
Were you about to say Schmidt?
No. Oh no, I just kept on thinking
Schmidt.
Robert Plant, but I knew that's not it.
Yeah, no, that's Led Zeppelin.
I know it's Led Zeppelin, but that's like... I was.
She was definitely
like,
born in the 90s.
Hey, I've seen Robert
makes
Plant
me feel
in
old.
Concert.
So
you didn't know who the fuck he was.
I did
too. You're like, wow, that's the guy from The Cure.
No.
You know what's even more sad,
Trent? Difference.
I saw an advertisement for a 90s party.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. I've seen some of that. Well, actually, I think about 10 years
we
ago...
We had a 90s party.
Yeah, me and Trent were clubbing in the 90s.
But 10 years ago, I reached this point where I got into an elevator and they were playing a Muzak version of Closer by Nine Inch Nails. And that was just like, how the fuck do you do that? And it was like, it had the whole Muzak, mellow, smooth jazz feel to it. And I didn't recognize it at first until
it wasn't
got
like
to,
Richard Cheese or anything, was it?
No. It got to that keyboard part at the end. And they had that mix throughout it. And I heard that part. I was like, that's a downward spiral. That's the theme for that. I was like, holy shit. I started paying attention. And I was like, yeah, this has got the little...
See, I reached that point when I saw him several years ago. And I saw him once when I was a teenager.
Is this the tambourine show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to OKC up at the...
With
fucking,
John.
Yeah. And we were up there and watching him with a tambourine and his blue jeans and like this big smile on his face. And then trying to cry at the end of Closer. I was like, you're so full of shit. And everybody here knows it. And it was weird because like me and John and Dave were there, and we were younger then, so we were all kind of dressed like what I guess you'd call hipsters now. But looking at all the other people like in their like Parker dress attire and things like that, like adults just slightly older than me, really, really hit home with me. I was like, damn, I'm growing up.
I think
games are my one way of kind of holding on to that last bastion of like bachelorhood. Like, it's my little way of saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to be an adult, but I'm still going to have a little bit of fun. I'm not going to be, like, my dad or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not that my dad's not cool, but, like, my dad hit a point, like a lot of adults do, where they got to feel like they got to do grown-up things, which to me is just really boring, so...
If you don't want to do grown-up things, don't do grown-up things. Fuck that. It's lame.
So, yeah, that's which is one reason that I still game. And speaking of gaming, I did a lot of it this weekend.
Yeah? What did you play?
I played Fez. Lots of hype. I hear No Quarters talking about it. I hear TVGP talking about it. And I'm just like, you know what? I haven't given this game a chance at all. And so I bought it like during Christmas break or whatever and didn't pay any attention to it. That game's pretty cool. So for those of you that haven't played it, and I'm sure almost everybody that listens to the show has at this point, you're little white dude, little like Marshmallow Man. And You're going through these puzzle levels to find blocks, and those blocks make a cube, and those cubes unlock more doors to get more puzzle levels. And it starts off as a 2D platformer, and you're like, 2D platformer, oh, that's so cool. And the pixel art's really cool. It's really clean. There's no rough edges on anything. It's just very pixel sprite art, you know. And at a certain point, it says hit R to rotate. It's like rotate. And you rotate. Well, the levels rotate in a 3D manner. And you're like, oh, this is kind of 3D. Nice. And the weird thing is things that are in the foreground that are further away, when you're rotated, are closer. So since you're playing on a 2D plane, it moves those 3D objects closer to you, and then you can move on it. So a lot of the puzzles are based on you rotating things back and forth. And then there's little Tetris levels where you got to line up blocks and little Tetris blocks to make things happen. And then every time you complete a cube, like, your guy, like, does this weird thing, and there's, like, this big, like, he centers on him, and he kind of rises in the air, and it has this little real happy noise. It's like, and it brings a smile to your face every time you complete a block, I gotta say. It's kind of cute. I like it a lot. I only paid $5 for it. That's $5 well spent. I will say some parts of it are a little bit frustrating. The puzzles can be fairly difficult. But that just adds to the challenge. And if you're in the right mood to play it, like, it's a good game to pop in for, like, 30 minutes to an hour and just, like, fuck around with it for a little bit and put it down to do something else to come back to.
Yeah.
It is a good game to, like, kind of space out to while you're doing things. But, more so than that, I played a lot of Secret World. Secret World went buy to play, which basically means you buy it, and then you play it, and then there's a little bit of microtransactions, but not much. There's no level cap on you for buying it instead of doing microtransactions. The microtransactions are all things like you can get an item that'll let you get rest XP, kind of like Warcraft. And the other one is to get different things for your apparel. So you can buy in-game money to buy some of that extra stuff. But they're not things that you can't... The rest XP you can't get outside of that extra microtransaction.
And the rest is just all superficial.
Yeah. And I bought it on a Steam sale for $22. The subscription of that game originally was $15 monthly.
Yeah.
So for less than 2 months worth of subscription price, I bought it and I'm playing it.
Nice.
And I've sunk 35 hours into it, and it is...
Usually the game is $29, if I remember. It's $30. So,
yeah,
it's not that expensive.
Yeah, and to put it in MMO perspective, I mean, that's the price of 2 months of subscription to any major, you know, monthly subscription MMO.
Yeah.
Now, I know that a lot of people have had... Me, personally, I have a hard time with free-to-play most of the time. I have a hard time with free-to-play MMOs. And the reason for that is it seems like they limit, like, Old Republic limits the amount of deaths you can have. You looking for a pen?
I'm looking for my phone.
Well,
you can just carry on.
Carry on.
Still listening.
So, a lot of free-to-play MMOs will do things like limit the amount of deaths like they do in Old Republic. Or, you know, limit what areas you can get into, what level of restriction you can get to, or whatever. And they limit the actual experience. Whereas, this doesn't limit the experience. Yeah, you can get some vanity items. Maybe you want to sneak in a little bit of extra bucks. Do that, but that's just kind of the same concept as if you're in Gears of War and you buy extra skins for your guns.
Yeah.
Or you know, you're playing Street Fighter and you buy extra skin packs for your characters. Like, it's really not that big of a deal. But,
that's it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, it's kind of distracting, but it's okay. I can call you. You want me to call you, Holly?
No, it's on vibrate, and I may have just left it out in my car. But...
Microtransactions. That's where you were for me.
Yeah, I left off. But so, anyways, back to what I was talking about. Secret World is one of those games that really delves into the single player experience that a lot of MMOs don't. Old Republic kind of opened it up to the whole cinematic experience with your quests and things like that, to where you pay attention to quests. And Old Republic was really good at that. Where Old Republic failed is grouping and things like that, and the experiences and the quests were really kind of meaningless. Like, there just wasn't enough going on with your quests to make them interesting. There wasn't a lot. When you boiled down the quest structure, it really wasn't very much different than World of Warcraft or something like that. You're still buying or killing so many things for said guy. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. With Secret World, though, it's a whole other experience. A lot of your quests have to do with the occult and things like that. There's three basic factions. You got the Illuminati, the Templars, and a faction called the Dragon, which is kind of in between the two of them. And the factions don't play a huge role in anything except for battlegrounds, and that you can't have a guild with different factions in it. But you can have cross-guild chat, so you could have a guild with three different factions or made up of three different deals, and then just group them all together in the same channel. But other than that, you choose your guild, and then you find out, long short of it is the world's ending, and there's all sorts of crazy shit going on. The Cthulhu universe is basically alive. Any kind of horror universe you can think of is basically alive. And Gaia is trying to find people to help her out. And so this part's kind of cheesy. You basically wake up, there's something that flies in your mouth, and boom, you got superpowers. Yay! Well, one of these different organizations recruits you into their organization to kind of investigate and find out more about what's going on. That part sucks. And I was just like, oh, this kind of turned me off initially. I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. But the further I got into the game and the quest structure, the more that I really enjoyed it. And I think I showed Trent a little bit of it the other night. I was doing a quest where I was following these birds, and the birds would go from one point to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And I found a summoning circle. I had to summon a boss. Well, the summoning circle had a series of points that I had to place different feathers, and after I placed said feathers, the boss appeared, which was really cool.
Yeah.
There's one other quest, which is really early on, which I'm not going to completely spoil for you, but basically you go into this house and you find a computer terminal and it says you need to find out what the password is, and the password is my favorite musician. Well, there is a photograph with a picture of fireworks over a place with a lot of weather, and it said something along the lines of listening to my favorite song with my wife. Took me a while to decipher that, but I figured out what the composer was just from that hint. There's other things where I was rebuilding a control tower, and I had to go to a fake website to find out, you could pull up the web browser in game, mm-hmm. to find out what components went in the radio tower, and it was like a recounting of some dude's tale on how he cobbled parts together. I can't remember the specifics of it, but I remember finding the hints in the website. After I found the hints, I had assembled the tower, and I had to decipher Morse code. So a Morse code message plays out in a loop. So I recorded that on my phone. I took that and put it into Acid, just playing it back through the fucking microphone on my headset. After I did that, I used a Morse code decoder to figure out about what it meant, and then it pointed me towards the location to where the next waypoint or where this dead body was buried or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The next place in that quest was based on me deciphering that Morse code. Which, not a lot of games have kind of delved into that kind of depth with their quest structure. And it's something different for an RPG. It ties to, real-world stuff. The fake website is, an actual fake website they put up for this. Mm-hmm. I did another quest where I was tracking down, a famous cultist. And I found his YouTube videos on YouTube. And the YouTube videos on YouTube are what pointed me towards my next direction.
So it's kind
of awesome.
It's kind of similar to what Doom 3 tried to do slightly with the locker numbers, where you had to go to a website, and if you the website was basically a shipping manifesto for the Mars colony, and if you could enter in the locker number, it would give you the combination to unlock it. That was to try and get people to walk away from the game to actually look for information outside of it, and then that would lead them to extra stuff extra journal entries and crap like that.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff will tie back and forth between stuff you research and stuff that's in the game. You can't find all your answers in the game. If you really want to just cheat, you can just basically look. But some of the guides when I got really stuck would have spoilers. It would just say show spoilers or don't show spoilers. So the whole guide was hidden.
Yeah.
And even on their website, they have some of the stuff if you get really stuck. So it's not totally unplayable if you can't figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's more fun to kind of figure out these big puzzle quests.
See, aren't you glad you upgraded to a smartphone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up. But, yeah, it's a different kind of game. On that single-player element, that thing is really, really interesting. The quests are really cool.
Yeah, I remember in one of the cinematics seeing a plane crash. Have you gotten to that part yet?
No, I haven't gotten to that part.
So you haven't gotten to the piloting room yet?
No, but it's really horror theme-based. It's pretty damn creepy. There's some really cool elements to it. The way that it's lit, the lighting is really well done. It has, again, I haven't played Rifts. Apparently, Rifts is one of the best looking MMOs out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that play that one now.
But This is definitely the best looking MMO. It's about on par with, wouldn't you say, like Dead Rising or something graphics wise?
Yeah, when I was
like
looking,
a little bit
yeah,
smoother. It's like Dead Rising with Teslaization and better lighting.
Yeah.
They're not perfect. They're still a little bit cartoony, but like the level of detail on things, like even the walls have textures. You know, like it's just there's some pretty damn good detail. Like the trees have like individual leaves and stuff like that. It's not Warcrafty at all.
Yeah.
The combat's still pretty MMO. That part's kind of crazy. And the abilities are really hard to figure out. That's my hardest. Like, part of me really likes that system and do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But you really have to, like, do some hardcore research as to what works for you.
Yeah.
Like, there are cookie cutter builds to a certain point, but there's no levels. You have item levels. So, like, they call it quality level 1, 2 through 10, I think. And so, like, my guy's a quality level 3, meaning that his gear, he's a head, minor, and major talisman. And then I have one guy have a hand, fist items and magic. So it's magic level 3, fist items level 3, and then all my gear items are level 3.
Yeah.
So that's my actual level of my character, but my skills are all over the place. Like, he's a little bit healing, plus a little bit of damage, like he's very much a solo play character. And I got one character that I built, like I've built multiple characters now.
Of course. And you always do.
One character that's all pistols and swords, and he's all damage, like he doesn't do that much healing. And then I got one character I'm kind of building towards a tanking build, which is a hammer and the fist weapons. The fist weapons help me deflect stuff, like I guess the magic for fist weapons, which is called chaos magic, helps you with deflecting stuff, and the hammer is, I guess, a lot of movement impairing stuff.
Yeah.
But my characters look cool. Like, I like that. Like, they look... Got one dude that looks... He's like in a fucking, like, business suit wielding pistols, which is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I have this other guy, dude. You have Dex, so let me kind of backtrack. Dex are the ability for you to store different abilities in a structured set. So I can set up so many Dex on my guy. And I click on a button that says equip this deck, and it puts all the abilities on my skill bar, puts all my equipment in my inventory on my character, and then puts his clothes on, however I have him skilled up. And so I have a deck built for him. Well, they have starter decks, and they have in-game decks, too. Those starter decks are ways for you to point your points different ways so that you can kind of get special, or get you, unlocks an outfit, kind of gets you some structure to start off with, mm-hmm. is what I did. And so I've got a guy called a trickster, and he's got claw, like Wolverine claws, and he's got chaos magic. And he unlocks this, like, crazy-looking gi with dragons all over it. And it's funny, because he's wearing a gi and then, like, white suit pants and white shoes with a white mohawk.
Sounds interesting.
So, but yeah, and they get a little outfit out long, unlocked with that. But, like, the whole quest, like, your story quest will kind of take you all over this little world, and then you get these, like, they call them solo instances, where you go in by yourself to investigate an area and take care of different enemies or investigate or whatever. And then they got the basic dungeons and things like that. The dungeons I haven't really done because I'm a little bit of a pussy, and I don't want to group up with somebody I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to recruit some people from work because I'm ridiculous like that. So, and if you want to recruit me, of course, you can email the show and I'll see the email. But I'd rather play with people that want to play with somebody who doesn't know shit about the game.
Yeah.
But most people have been nice. But
good.
He doesn't want to get yelled at.
I was not a noob when I played WoW.
Yeah.
And I hate being the noob. So, Trent's kind of the same way. You don't like being a noob either.
No, I like to actually have a good grasp on the game before I jump into multiplayer, so that I'm not the noob. Because I hate it when you're playing something for the first time, like very first time, and everybody knows it's your first time going in, and it's like,
you might as well just have crosshairs on your face.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me that often where I haven't fully grasped what I'm doing, but I'll log in with a bunch of other people to play for the first time, and somebody else is there first time. They don't know what they're doing, and like everybody starts yelling at him, going like, "God damn it, do this!" And you're just like, "Dude, fuck off, leave him alone. It's his first time. It's a game. You know, fuck off." I think
people
somebody
take it so seriously sometimes.
Well, somebody yelled at me when we were playing DayZ,
yeah.
One of our first times. We were having server issues, and we were on Skype together. And some of the... I didn't know that it had in-game speak, because every server we had hopped onto, it was disabled.
Oh, yeah.
Because whoever hosted the server had disabled it. We accidentally popped into one that had server speak turned on. Were just talking. So everybody could hear what we were saying. And this guy, like, turned on his mic, he's like, shut the fuck up! And I was just like, and he's hearing us talk about having issues with trying to get this thing set up right. Rather than being helpful, he's just like, shut the fuck up! Like, zombies can hear me. You know, and I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, I don't remember what I said. I was just like, whatever. But yeah, the guy was...
It would be awesome if it was the case, though.
Hmm?
If the zombies could hear you.
That would be fantastic, Holly, but, you know, it's not done that way.
Well, it would be cool.
Okay.
You say that until you get swarmed by zombies while you guys are just having a conversation about...
Stripper pie dreams. Anyways. Sorry.
Stripper pole dreams.
Pole dreams. And pipe. I mean, you guys smoke a lot of crack, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, like, that's it's a job description. I had to pick up.
I think it's like every 20 of... 20 of every 100 that you make goes right to the rock.
Yep.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
It goes to the crack fund.
Yeah. The crack fund, which is always empty.
It's got a fly just spiraling in the jar.
I just need $5 to get me through the day.
That's me now.
Yeah.
So.
Like my crack.
Honestly, though, if anybody wants to jump in, it's not that expensive. I don't know what Endgame's like. I'm not going to know what Endgame's like for a long time because I can't play it all the time. But I will say this. Despite its flaws, despite the MMO combat, I know, you know what's funny is you always hear that, well, the combat's really MMO, get over it. That's kind of like how pretty much all MMOs are pretty much the same when it comes to stuff like that. They have the ability of going in third person and doing combat, it just, it's ridiculous. You got a little targeting reticle like on your screen in the middle, and then your guy's kind of off to the side, and then you swing your abilities and hope you're hitting them.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, that doesn't work. So you're way more effective if you can auto-target and then just hit abilities until things die.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, just the investigation stuff, the way everything looks, the variety of creatures. I mean, like, the first area is, like, basically all zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool because, like, it's just, they're all in little packs and they'll see you and start running or whatever. You'll have lumbering zombies. You have these, like, crazy Cthulhu-esque type zombies with tentacles and things like that. And they're not really zombies. They're just like dead sea things.
Kind of things.
Yeah, and they got like... There's some of them that are carrying like egg sacs in their back that explode and more zombies come out. And there's little Cthulhu monsters in the ocean that are kind of crazy looking. And then I'm at the part where... I guess the quest is called Polaris or whatever. I'm going to a crash... I think that's what you're talking about, the crash plane.
Polaris is actually an H.P. Lovecraft short story that he wrote about the North Star, Polaris.
Well, that's the name of the quest, but it's supposed to be really H.P. Lovecraft.
Then if it's tied in with H.P. Lovecraft, then it's probably... That's like a two-page short poem kind of like story in a way. It's really good. It's actually one of my favorite ones by him. So,
well, that's the name of the quest that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
And it's cool because the town I'm in is a little town in Maine, and like all the streets are like really cool names. But one of the names of one of the streets is like H.P. Lovecraft Lane. Or no, it's just Lovecraft Lane, but it makes a lot of nods to stuff like that. And then, I mean, just the creature design's really cool. There's one of the things I don't remember. I should have just researched this, but like one of the ones I was most impressed with was one called a Wendigo, and it's a guy that like kind of walks on all fours, kind of like a spider, but he's kind of humanoid, like he's shaped like a human. It's just the way that his joints are structured is kind of like a spider, which is weird. They're all really creepy looking and cool and all have different varying abilities that suck. But, and the creatures are actually kind of hard, to be honest with you. Like, nothing was really that easy. Like, I didn't just breeze through it.
Yeah.
The first time I played it, I didn't have any kind of healing ability or any kind of crowd control ability, and I just about died every single pull. Which, after I got a couple of abilities, it wasn't so bad, but...
It's kind of funny. It's like, I haven't seen a Wendigo in, like, RPG games since, like... way back. They used to be an enemy class you would come up against and stuff, like old Final Fantasy. It was a Wendigos. Actually, it might have been Xenogears. No, I think it was Final Fantasy. And you don't see them anymore in any of the new ones.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, check it out. But they don't look like humans.
No, it's a Native American thing. So yeah. These Wendigos don't look like the Wendigos that I was doing.
Yeah, no, they don't. In Final Fantasy, I think it was the ones that had them. They were like beast-type creatures. They would do slash attacks.
Yeah, these things walk on all fours and everything else.
Basically, the Wendigos in Final Fantasy looked like, if I remember, I can't remember. It was either like a dog or a winged dog. I can't remember. But they did slash attacks. It just totally sucked ass.
So it kind of looked gorilla esque.
Yeah, that's one of them. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Yeah, but I haven't seen a Wendigo in like a Final Fantasy game in quite a while.
So. Yeah, but. Like, honestly, like, the creature design's really cool. And so, like, the whole first area is kind of based on zombies and these crazy sea creatures.
Mm.
And then, and there's, like I said, a lot of variety in all the creature design. Like, there's different classes of zombies. There's different classes of roaming creatures. There's even a like, this creepy tree in the woods that I ran into a jack-o'-lantern at, and he had all these wisps flying around him. Mm. Like, I had to be dead at this quest in order to find out this murder mystery. So, while I was dead, I was tracking down a ghost. And I tracked down the ghost, and using different clues that he gave me, kind of found my way over to this, like, area where he... wasn't a jack-o'-lantern. It was, I think, the Headless Horseman or something like that. But anyways, I was kind of drunk by the time I was playing that one. But yeah, I had to be dead, and then this guy resurrected me, and then I had to fight him, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I had to fight him at half health, which was really hard. But, like, overall, I'm really impressed with that. And then I go to this other area, and I'm not going to talk about this forever, but the next area that I went into, like, there's a whole section that's based on, like, it's based on a lot of, like, demonic mythology. Like, there's a hotel that's been condemned, and the whole area is, like, kind of on fire, and so there's, like, brimstone seeking through the cement.
Yeah.
And the whole hotel is, like, burned out, except for, like, two rooms. There's one room that's been chasing, like, some reporter's been chasing down, like, mythological shit for a long time. He's the one that gives you quests. And then right next to him is room number 13. Room number 13 has a gateway into hell in the middle of it. And there's a, like, you roll back the carpet, and there's a book that you find that's a cipher. And then you have to, it kind of tells you a couple of different things in Latin. And based on those things in Latin, I figured out with the symbol, because it has, on the cipher, it tells you what each symbol means, or what symbol means what Latin letter.
Yeah.
So I found out what the Latin phrase meant, and then I spelled it, or what the phrase meant in Latin, then spelled it out in Latin using the cipher, and that's what's the key to get me to the next area. So, and that whole area is, like, filled with, like, these crazy, like, succubuses, and, or succubi, I guess. These crazy, like, huge-ass hell demons with swords and all sorts of shit. And now I'm going into, like, a haunted, like, the next area I'm in is a haunted school. With, like, all these crazy floating teachers that shoot shit at you.
Now, are they still doing all the DLC updates that they plan to do since they went free to play?
It's supposed to be a DLC update coming really soon for more content. And they've been doing different, like,
little ones. Well, they actually,
like, little bits of content.
Yeah, I remember they had that New York one that I think came out first last year,
mm-hmm.
right after the game release, that was pretty big from what I heard. Like, the size of it was pretty decent. That was just an add-on for it, so...
Yeah, and there's some cool stuff, like the lighting effects. Like, there's an area that I had to go through this parking garage. I was chasing somebody down. And I think I was chasing down somebody in the Illuminati, and they were trying to hide evidence, but I guess he got killed at the end of this area. So I'm chasing down this dude, and I have nothing but... I find a headlamp. The area is just illuminated by the exit signs. Like, it's almost pitch black. And so the headlamp's the only thing illuminating it. So as I'm sweeping back and forth with my character, my headlamp's going back and forth illuminating different things. And that's how I was finding the different monsters that were hiding in the dark. Which was kind of scary the first time because, like, I just illuminated one and they just fucking attacked me out of nowhere. Like, son of a bitch. And it was really, really tough.
Nice.
But, and it was like these crazy, like, sort of zombie things with, like, tentacles all over their face. And, like, the actual effects for a lot of things are really, really cool. Like, again, it's kind of got a new skin on it, so, like, some of the graphics are a little bit washed out, but the level of textures and the lighting is what makes up for it. The lighting is really dramatic in this game.
Yeah.
So, the things they do right in that game is they really do questing right. I haven't played a dungeon yet, so I don't know, like, a proper dungeon, so I don't know how that goes. The things that it doesn't do right, though, the combat is still very MMO. I kind of went into it expecting that, not worried about it. And that skill system is hard as fuck to figure out, like, what your actual role is. So I don't know if I'm a healer or a DPS or a tank, and I'm pretty sure I'm not a tank because I haven't been getting anything for avoidance or dodge or block or whatever. But I'm not really a healer on one of my guys, so I guess he's damaged. maybe he can off-heal. I don't know. Like, there's different classes. Like, the Necromancer can shoot his assault rifle and then heal people with blood magic. Blood magic looks really cool, by the way, because it just kind of, like, seeps out of your arm. It's really cool. But, I mean, overall, I mean, it's so much different than a lot of MMOs I've played. It's so much different than a lot of RPGs. I mean, even the single-player experience of getting out of it, I just got sucked in and played it, like, till, like, 4 o'clock in the morning one night. And I was just like, holy shit. I sunk 10 hours into this game.
You said it's, like, $30?
$30 at full price. With no subscription fee.
That's so awesome.
And then there's no... It doesn't matter what server you're on. If you are playing it right now and you want to play with me, fucking hit me up on our official email or whatever and I'll play with you.
Yeah. Are they charging for the DLCs? Because
I think they're talking about charging like
$5. Okay. Because originally I knew that they were talking about making them free since they were
There's a lot of free content that comes out. Like there's events. Like there was a mine event. And there was these Mayan, like, undead warriors that were kind of hanging out in different areas.
Yeah.
You kill one of them, and it started a quest to find out more about it. And I went to Egypt to go search for some stuff, and I found out that my character wasn't nearly high enough level to do this shit. Mm-hmm. So I kind of quit that quest. But, yeah, they're doing... And I think it just unlocked a bunch of, like, pet items, so I had this crazy, like, half torso thing that'll follow me around now if I want them to.
A torso?
He's a crawling torso. He makes weird noises. But, yeah, it's just all the... Everything horror from the last 200 years all rolled into one. In an MMO. With some pretty cool atmosphere.
I remember seeing stuff on it, and I was always really excited about it. I didn't know it had come out already.
A lot of people had a hard time with the skill system and had a hard time paying a subscription fee.
Yeah.
Like, I think less than 200,000 people are playing it right now. Which, in MMO terms, is almost the death of an MMO. But I think out of all the other MMOs that are out there, I mean, I've played Guild Wars, and that's all right. I know some people really like it. It just wasn't quite my thing. It's too much of the same, you know? You play Warcraft for several years, you don't really want to play a Warcraft game anymore, you know?
So I tried playing Guild Wars, you know, 1, back probably 2007, something like that. It's about 2007. When I was playing WoW originally, and I just couldn't get into it. I just didn't like it as much.
Well, there's a lot of people that really like it. I know it made Game of the Year for a lot of people, but mm-hmm. I just don't want more of that kind of fantasy in an MMO.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. This is different enough that's so far removed from those other MMOs that it's enough for me to kind of keep my interest peaked.
Yeah. I haven't even bothered looking at Guild Wars 2 because I just was like, I'm not interested.
But out of everything that's come out, I mean... Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people say, well, it's better. Well, I mean, WoW is kind of the grandfather, aside from EverQuest, of MMOs. They're the ones that did it right, that knew how to hook people. But it's just grindy as fuck, and I just can't get into grindy as fuck. I want to do something. I want my quest to be interesting. And this has full voice cutscenes for all the quests. Like, every quest you do, the guy or the girl or whoever talks to you and tells you a little bit about what's going on, gives you some backstory. Some of it's really funny sometimes. Like, they have a pretty good sense of humor about a lot of the stuff, which is really interesting. It's pretty well voice acted. Once you start doing the quests and getting involved with your character, that's when it really starts to get interesting. That initial backstory is garbage, but once you get into it, I am totally hooked right now.
Like, yeah.
I just wanted a fucking RPG to play, and that's what it's kind of doing for me, is I'm playing an RPG in an MMO wrapped in an MMO. And that's not something I've gotten for a long time. Even Old Republic didn't do that for me.
Yeah.
Quest was interesting enough. So, anyways, that's my take on the Secret World. I've been having a lot of fun with it.
Did you play anything else?
No.
No.
I played some Dark Souls.
So, Trent.
I did not play any Dark Souls. You go first. I actually have a new game that might be a little bit longer. So, you go first. What have you been doing, Holly?
I've been doing a lot of work. Yes, I've been taking my clothes off for money.
You can take it off your top.
Just people know she's like 5 foot tall and weighs 300 pounds.
Hey, I have like 6-7 inch heels though.
Okay, fine. So she's 5.5 feet.
She's been taking off a bandana. Cause
yeah.
I mean,
bandana.
She still weighs 300 pounds.
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
She just rolls off the stage.
Yeah. She just
tucks her ankles and rolls.
It's like dropping honey on a toothpick. That's how she wraps around the floor. That's kind of what it looks like. Oh, the pole's actually thicker than her. She's tiny as shit.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I haven't played anything. We were supposed to get internet yesterday, but that didn't happen. And we were supposed to get internet today, which they just came and, like, turned it on, but didn't come inside.
Who are you going through?
Cox.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't come inside and check anything. So Matt has been gone all night. So Steven and I were just, like, trying to figure it out, like, why it wasn't working. We have wireless.
With Cox?
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy. If you've got the did they send you a router?
Yeah, they gave us the router and everything.
Okay.
It's not,
just plug it in.
Yeah.
They gave us the, like, Matt decided that he was going to do the $11 cheaper and get the home phone as well. So they gave us, like,
yeah,
some weird ass fucking router with it.
This is not, does it look like ours, that big one over there?
It's bigger. Like, it's thicker than that. It's not that, well, it might be that wide.
Well, that's laying down. It stands up.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is.
So, yeah.
I think she's pretty much got her spatial orientation down here.
Yeah. She's like, no. Ours is
it's
not
that,
that
it's that
wide.
Internet thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All, okay. All you have to do, plug the coaxial into just how many coaxials do you have in the house?
Well, no, like, we've got all of that set up.
Oh, that's set
but
up.
But for
okay.
some reason, like, it doesn't want to connect to the internet, so
okay.
we don't know.
Here's a question: are you trying to connect wirelessly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a wireless router attached to it as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got two things. One
yeah.
with an antenna. Okay, perfect.
Have you ever
one
set
just
perfect.
Like yours, and then we've
okay.
got...
Okay, just...
Have you ever set up a wireless router
say
before?
Say newbie stuff here.
I've
That's
used
all.
Mine.
Yeah, but have you ever
does
set
it
one
does it have a password on it?
Yeah, it has the... Or it has the... It's the key.
Okay, so...
Is what it is. But I went through and I used that, and for some reason it still doesn't want
so
to connect.
A lot of times before it's ever set up, it's just admin and password.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything like
actually,
that.
Actually, sometimes you can just hit enter without a password and it'll let you in, too. Is it a brand new wireless router?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you gone through the instruction manual, through all the information? Because usually it'll have that password and thing. It'll tell you
they,
what the default
they had
is.
Gone through and set everything up before.
Cox did, or?
No.
Matt
and, Matt and Steven did.
Then they have to know the password.
Yeah,
no, I don't
just,
think they... No, we couldn't set anything up.
Well,
just
with your router,
we
you just set it to auto detect settings. Really, with Cox, it's that.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
like we found the internet that we were going through on the PS3 trying to figure it out because we've got that set out in the living room so we can watch Netflix and shit like that.
Well, I would
so
connect a computer
I was trying
to
go through
it and make sure
well,
that's working
he was,
first.
He was trying to connect his
yeah.
computer to it in the other room and it still wasn't.
Well, do this. Was he trying to connect his computer with an Ethernet connection to it?
Mm-mm.
Do that. Do what he's saying, because that's what you need to do, is to make sure you're even getting internet to begin with. The router signal is going to get picked up no matter what, even if there's no internet. Take
okay.
that off. Plug a computer or Xbox or PlayStation directly into the modem and
okay.
see if you can connect that way. And if you're connecting, then you know the internet's fine. It's the router that needs to be fixed somehow. Which, there's a reset button that'll wipe the entire
yeah,
thing
we're
out.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
It's kind of a pain in the ass. A lot of them are different, but just... hold it in there for like 10
mm-hmm.
seconds,
that's
pull it out, unplug it, and reboot it.
For the fan, pro tips.
Yeah, pro tips. And ultimately, Cox should have set it up for you.
They should have.
So
and I don't fucking know
you,
why
well,
they didn't. They
you,
didn't even come inside.
I know. So if you can't fix this after that, call them tomorrow and
yeah.
tell them, hey, you need to send somebody out here now because you guys came in. So I came over, you turned the internet on, but you guys didn't even, they didn't
honestly,
come in.
Honestly,
their
support's
the
not that bad. You could probably
yeah.
call them and set it up. Even without
yeah.
any kind of knowledge.
Well, I've had
them
before. Whenever I was living in these apartments, I had them, and
yeah.
they were fine.
I just call them and have them. I think their support's open like 24 hours.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if the ones here in town aren't giving you... Sorry, if they're they're giving you, like, nothing, they're just dead-ending you, ask to talk to you. Ask them to transfer you to the Atlanta branch. I think it's Atlanta.
Okay.
Because they're, like, that's who I always talk to whenever I call there, because I will not talk to the Tulsa branch of Cox. After helping my mom with all of her shit, fuck no.
Yeah.
Those guys kept fucking up everything. They was like, we need to come out there and just add an amplifier. That's $75. And I was like, you already did that. And they're like, oh. Well, then, we probably need to just come out and do a service call. That's $50. I'm like, no. I'm not going
to
fucking pay
you
more money. You know, and so finally, they transferred me to this one dude. And I was like, who's this? And he's like, oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm like, where are you? And he's like, I'm in Atlanta. And I told him what the deal was. He said, oh, here's a problem. Just do this. And then fixed it. After that, I will never fucking talk to Tulsa Branch again. So, sorry, hometown.
Oh, well.
Fuck y'all.
Yeah,
the
so
moral of this story is call support. Probably won't take you that long.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to even fuck with it. I'm just gonna let Matt do it.
Well, they got the how-to guys from Most Wireless Routers, and they'll walk you through how to set it up and stuff. So, yeah.
The worst comes to worst, Matt's gonna be bored tonight. He'll come home and be like, "God damn, I want internet."
Yeah, he might be home right now. I don't know. But Steven was trying to set it up, and Steven is not the brightest person in the world.
Well, you need to have it set up by Saturday.
I know.
Yeah, for Mass Effect.
It should be set up by then. Matt should probably be able to get it set up tonight. But
yeah. Speaking of that, I'll be running late, so you guys will be starting. I'll be jumping in later.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so what else have you been up to, Holly?
That's all.
Really? Nicholas, my bro.
Yep. Dude, I hate working days. Days are so boring.
Oh yeah, the lunch rush. The lunch crowd. You get creepy Mervin comes in, the guy who has his hands in his pockets the entire time.
Whenever I worked there before, there was this guy that always used to go in there. He was in, like, he's literally in there from like the beginning of the day to the end of the day, every single day. Like he would leave at like maybe 11 o'clock at night. So he wasn't there all night, but still he's damn near.
Does he spend
money the entire time he's there?
He pays to get in, he drinks water. Doesn't get dances, doesn't tip anyone. But he's like this old ass man. He's got like, or well, he used to have like this long, like gray ponytail, but he looks like a tick.
Does he bring anything, like a newspaper or anything?
No,
or?
He just sits there and he just watches. But like before,
even
a lot
I
of
would
girls...
get bored with that much titty. 8 hours or 12 hours of boob, I would get bored with that.
Well, no, and he does it every day.
I know. I would have to bring like a Vita or a newspaper
sitting there.
Or a Nook.
Yes. I don't understand why he goes in there anyway. I mean, I know he wants the girls to talk to him, but he's one of those people where he tries to control everyone. Like whenever I worked there before, Rochelle and I would go over and we would talk to him because he was one of her customers and he would actually give her money, but he never really gave anyone else money. So we would hang out with him and he'd give me a little bit of money, but then like eventually he just stopped giving everyone, like anyone, any money. But he would still get pissed off and expect us to like sit with him. And whenever we would get up, he's like, "You just don't want to spend time with me because I don't have any money." It's just like, yeah, it's my fucking job. I've got to make money. Like, what do you expect me to do? Do you just want me to hang out with you all day and not pay my bills? No. But he was actually on there on Tuesday, and I don't want to work days because I don't want to see him. But apparently he doesn't go in like at night anymore. He's just in there during the day.
More money.
I don't want to deal with that.
So, but you have to be there a while. And don't they make every girl pull at least like one day shift or something like that?
Yeah, you have to do. Yeah. If you're not a traveler, if you live within 2 hours.
Do you think you have to do that?
You have to have 3 days. Or, well, no, not three. You have to have 3 shifts scheduled to you.
Okay.
Mine is Monday night and Thursday night. And then you have to have 1 day shift as well. And then I chose Tuesday day.
Yeah. What about weekend? That's your money time is weekends. I think Thursday nights.
Yeah, but I'm wanting to go to Dallas occasionally and work around the weekends.
Yeah, you're talking about. See, I'm not really an expert on strip clubs. I don't go to them that often. But I remember when I was doing DJ stuff and club stuff, the schedules that you see for club nights is actually really similar to the schedule you see for stripper nights. Yeah, so for strip clubs.
Yeah.
And so it's like Thursdays are actually pretty decent. Because a lot of people want to come out at the end of the week before the weekend starts.
That's why I chose Thursdays.
Yeah, and that's kind of the hump, middle of the week. They go and they suffer Wednesday through work, and then the next day they suffer that last day for the end of the week. And then they go out and they party and just go to work hungover.
Yeah.
And just deal with it. So I guess Friday is kind of a fuck-off day for a lot of people.
Yeah, and then I chose Mondays. Just, I know it's super slow on Monday nights, but I didn't want to choose Sundays because if I'm going to Dallas on Friday and Saturday, I'm not going to want to work on Sunday.
I see. I think
then,
Sundays are like hit or miss, aren't they, for if there's people there or not,
And then Tuesday, I chose Tuesday morning because I wasn't going to work Wednesday at all because of, the podcast, obviously. So I chose Tuesday morning so that way I'm actually able to be off work if I want to catch, like, the midnight release for a game or something like that and have time to play that and then have Wednesday off to do that for
the
podcast. But,
nice.
And if you don't show up for your scheduled shift, then you have to pay $80. And anytime you work, you have to pay $20 just for
house fee.
Your house fee, So if you miss a day, the next day you go in,
$100.
$100 that you make is going to the club.
And that could be your entire daily take if it's kind of slow.
Yeah. But I mean, the good thing is, though, you can miss you know, 2 months traveling or something like that, and it's still just the
$80.
But, yep, I've just been doing that and hanging out with Matt and Steven.
Nice.
What have you been doing, Trent?
Work. Trying to think of this. Oh, funny story. Okay, so I have this kind of semi big project client that came in that basically they do this pay-per-view for rock concerts where you can go up and you sign up and you pay like so much a month and you get to watch, I think it's like $50, and you get to watch streamed videos of live shows that you can't get to. Like if there's like a Whitney Houston show, or well, she's dead. But yeah, if there's like it's Tina Turner.
Let me do shows from the past, sir.
Yeah, let's go with Tina Turner. So if there's like a Tina Turner show, ooh, Tina Turner, or Justin Bieber show, you can watch it, you know, in your house, streaming it to your computer and not have to drive, you know, or sorry, go out of town in order to do it because of work constraints or whatever. It's actually a pretty decent, you know, deal. And I'm giving their entire website a facelift is what I'm doing because it looks like somebody built it out of their basement. You know, it's just kind of horrible. And I went in there and I was setting up an FTP account. I was on 2 hours of sleep. And this was like
you've been up pretty late Tuesday. For a guy that goes to work at 8:30 in the
yeah.
morning.
Yeah, this is like Tuesday. I could not sleep Monday night. And so, no matter what I did. And so I just was like, fuck it. And got up and I felt like shit. And then I finally passed out. I got like 2 hours of sleep. Went to work. End of the day, I'm doing this. I'm setting up an FTP account so I can, you know, do a remote server of the website so I can edit it without actually editing the real website. You know, just to do a test and get everything set up so I can just upload those files and boom, the site will be done. I'm setting up the FTP account and I screw up on the allocation of my my file quota. I set it to, I think, like 200 megs, and I was like, I probably need more than I need. I need, you know, unlimited, so I can actually upload as much as I need to. So I went to go delete that FTP account, since you can't edit that, really. I went in there, and there's two options when you're deleting an FTP account. There's a thing that's your home folder, which is basically where all the files that you access go. And I had it pointed directly to the their back end is fucking, their database is completely screwed. It's just cluttered, nasty, it's hard to navigate. They have 8 folders that are named after their website, and I had to figure out which one was the live version of the website, and I found it finally, but I had it pointing to that. When I went in to delete that FTP account, there's two options. Delete account and files. And I accidentally hit the delete account and files, and it wiped the database clean. There was no, and I was like, oh shit. I went and I hit refresh on the website, white screen. I was like, oh my god, their project, their $1 million idea project that they have like 10,000 members on and shit, I just wiped off the face of the earth. I was like, oh shit. So I went in and I was like, restore. So you know, I'm trying to find the restore, and I hit restore and I was like, okay, here's an entire list of everything on the website. I found the folder and told to restore, and it just brings it this dial and says, restore it. It's just sitting there forever. I was like, this is probably going to take a while. It's probably like 20 gigs worth of shit. So I was like, well, I'll leave it overnight. Fuck it. So I go home, and the entire night I'm sitting there clicking this thing, refresh, just to check it. While I'm playing my game, because I know it's working. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, they're down for fucking 5 hours. Who cares? No, there's nothing going on. I'm just put out of my mind. Nobody knows about it. Never happened. Luckily, by 9 o'clock, like 3 hours later, the website fully restored. But I was like, I was this close to getting fired.
God.
I need to show you how to edit HDAccess.
Actually, I usually can, but on theirs, I'm not even going to try. You have no idea what this fucking database looks like. They're on HostMonster, and oh my fucking god, they have screwed everything up on that thing. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done. They've gone in and basically the actual root folder for the website isn't even in the fucking the main like root directory. It's buried like 20 fucking folders in. So if you want to go to the long URL, it's fucking massive just to get there because they just keep editing.
They buried the site and then just set the. That doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's fucking retarded and I have to work with it. I was talking to Daniel about it. I was like, have you seen... When I was telling him about what I did, I was like, have you seen the database? He was like, oh my god, yeah. He's like, don't feel bad. I did the same thing just the other day. Not to them, but to somebody else. To an oil company. And I was like, yeah. I was like, it happens every once in a while. You just slip up. And I was half asleep. So I was like, just hit restore. Fuck it.
You know, that kind of that happened to Ursa. Thankfully, I had... It happened for about 2 hours right after I uploaded the podcast last week.
Yeah.
And I was fucking around with HD Access. And I wasn't sure how to edit the file size for uploads. Because we were... We do a lot of stuff through WordPress, if people don't know. That's, like, the basic structure of our site is on WordPress.
Yeah.
And I went through, and I was fucking around with
HD. Did you finally increase the size of
it? It's unlimited now.
Good. Oh, thank God.
So, I was just trying to figure out how to change, like, uploads, or upload size for WordPress or whatever. And after a while, I was like, fuck it, I'm not messing with WordPress settings.
Yeah.
I was like, when I go to the super admin level, I'm just going to mess with an HD Access. And look at our HD Access file, I was like... There's a lot of rules on here. So yeah. I dug through it for a long time, and then I figured out, I was like, well, I'm just going to have to write a rule set. And I wrote the wrong rule set, and
Did you fuck up the redirectory on it or something? Or what?
No, I fucked up the actual, like, how it points to where everything's at.
So it was basically just saying, could not find.
It. Well, when the website came up, it said, you know, invalid site or whatever, yeah. You know, go to GoDaddy to figure it out, blah, blah, blah. And... All it was is I just fucking messed up on a fucking semicolon. I didn't notice it. Like, yeah. I was going through and I add comments to all my shit. And this is not to bore our audience, but basically, a long story short, in HD, you have a file on any website called HD Access. It kind of tells where everything's structured.
Yeah.
And you can, I'm really, really anal about adding notes. And you'll add you add your slash or whatever. You make your note.
Did
you
your slash. Hashtag.
Yeah, whatever it is. I forgot. But anyways, I added my note, and at the end of my note, I didn't close the note bracket, and so I fucked up the whole HD Access file because of that.
So I have to edit HD Access files about every so often to do rewrite conditions for whenever people are browsing. We do the rewrites for if they screw up on the URL, crap like that, or if they add something to the end of the website name, it'll take it back. And HD Access files, I hate them. I don't like them very much. So.
I've gotten pretty good at it, but
our HD Access file on
our website, because I have a lot of stuff buried in subdomains for other projects and things like that for whenever I get more time to do the site, and there's a lot of rule sets on our HD Access that are basically just there for when I want to activate them, and I set up a long time ago, and I forgot all the conditions I set.
Let's see, with the administrative tools for, you know, changing limits and everything on WordPress, I hate going into even WordPress's theme manager whenever you add themes and stuff.
See,
it's all dependent on the... You have Figaro, you have Blue Theme, I think is another one that makes them, and some other stuff. And I hate them. They're a pain
in
the ass.
That's why I went to doing a lot of the... Taking it and just making your own template, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Or going in and just putting in a theme, and rather than editing the actual theme... going into the CSS files or the PHP files and just edit straight there, so it becomes the default automatically, so you don't really have to edit stuff. One thing Joomla I used to hate Joomla with a passion, because we use it at work a lot for customers that want to actually be able to access their websites and make changes. It's easier for them to do it if there's a CMS, and I've gotten so used to Joomla, I find it easier to... It used to be easier for me to custom code. Now it's actually easier for me just to do Joomla, because I can build an entire website in like 1 hour, and boom, it's done, if I have everything there. You know, custom coding, it'll take you a little bit longer, so you have to make pages for every page.
With the way the internet works nowadays, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to dynamic content.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making a magazine site or something like that, where a lot of these site builders definitely have an advantage.
Oh yeah, they definitely do, because when you're doing custom code, even still nowadays, unless you're going in and doing a bunch of PHP crap.
Like, if you're making, like, something where it's not dynamic content, like if I was making a page for a video game,
yeah,
and I basically had 5 pages to make, fuck yeah, I'd want to do that all custom code.
Yeah.
But for something like what we do, where we're always posting content, like... Mm-hmm. This
it
makes way
too
more sense, because it organizes
main,
everything,
yeah.
And you don't have to set up your own hierarchies and everything else.
Yeah, plus with everything that it uses with the CMS builders like Joomla and WordPress and all that and Drupal, you're only making one page, and you're just creating blogs that basically get funneled into the front page inside of the module positions. And so there's only one fucking page to edit, which is kind of nice. that's all you're ever doing. It carries a theme that's universal across the whole thing and applies it to everything. You just change the div class if you want to make that look different, this look different. As for if you're wanting to do a full custom coded website, every page you kind of have to, you can make the div classes universal, and you can even make the divs themselves universal if the structure is the same on every page, it's just different content. But going in and changing that content out, all this crap, it becomes a big pain in the ass and just very time consuming. Even adding in something like a JavaScript slideshow becomes a big pain in the ass, especially if it doesn't want to work with, like, if you have two instances of jQuery and it starts conflicting, then you got major fucking issues there. As for most theme websites, most templated websites like WordPress or Joomla, it takes that in consideration because it actually is built to work with that particular type of widget kit, so the jQuery doesn't conflict with each other.
So
boring.
Yeah, I was about to. My computer is going to sleep. So
yeah.
Ball.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
Yes.
I bought Sleeping Dogs last week.
Some Sleepy Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs, as it hit the Steam finale, the Encore sale, where they continued it for a couple extra days, and they put that one back on sale, which made me happy since I missed it.
I was going to pick it up, but I just completely out of cash.
Yeah. And, excuse me. And I've been playing it. I played it during the weekend, here and there. I think I started on Sunday night for the most part. I don't think I played too much during the weekend. But I've been playing it like every night that I come home from work. And it's super
stress reliever.
It's a great game. It's super fun. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And
we wish you had played this for the Game of the Year episode.
Yeah, I do. Because this would have ended up on my list. Because I've only probably put about maybe 15 hours into it. But it's just really good. I'm loving the hell of it. The graphics look amazing. I have the high texture pack that you can add in, and
I heard it's a pretty good looking game.
Oh, it is. It's amazing looking, and it's a huge game. You're in Hong Kong, and you have basically these four major city areas, like Aberdeen.
Is it big as GTA 4?
I didn't play GTA 4. I'm not a big Grand Theft Auto fan. The stories, while they're similar, while the gameplay is similar to stuff that I play, it's just the stories for Grand Theft Auto always just, I just never really liked them too much.
Yeah, I'm a big GTA fan.
Yeah, the gameplay is fun. It's just the story.
Yeah, I always like the gameplay, but I never paid attention to the story.
Yeah, and for me, I gotta have both. For the most part, I gotta have gameplay and story. And Sleeping Dogs does a good job with that. It's sort of just like Grand Theft Auto. You got the open world environments. You're pretty much stealing cars. Same thing as like Saints Row had set up, very similar to Grand Theft Auto. And the story behind it, which no spoilers, but you play. Wei Chin, who is a Hong Kong native who moved to America with his sister to get out of that lifestyle that comes with being from where they're from, which is prosperity, which is a lot of gang, triads and stuff like that. And his sister was into drugs, and he was well on that way, and he left. And his sister died, unfortunately. But he became a police officer, and he came back to Hong Kong because he never felt comfortable in America, just as he never felt comfortable in Hong Kong, but he feels like, at least that, there I can face some past demons. And he's working undercover with the Hong Kong police to try and take down the triads, which he has kind of a personal beef with. And nobody there knows where he went or what happened to this dude. He went to America. They don't know why or what he did during that time, so it's perfect for him to slip back in with old friends who are part of the triads now and work his way up, trying to take down the whole thing. And it's really fun because you skirt this line between gang member and cop, and you're constantly being pushed to test both. Like, the gang members don't like you because you won't kill people, so they try and twist your arm here and there to get you to do it. Meanwhile, you're kind of losing touch, thinking that maybe you fucked up and got a little bit too far. which is funny that they
deep undercover.
Yeah, well, it's funny that they make that such a huge deal about killing people, yet I mow people down in the car constantly when making a hard turn. Just boom, kill somebody. I'm like, oh, too bad. So, but the way that's set up, when you go on missions, how you act during that mission is actually, you have two different types of skill points you receive. You receive triad points and you receive cop points. And if you do things a little bit more by the book as an officer would, and you don't really hurt people, you don't do too much property damage, you get more cop points. If you just say fuck it and you play recklessly, you get more triad points. And each one of them unlocks different stuff. Cop points give you more skills in like shooting and martial arts, stuff like that. Mainly for it's like there's two branches in each one of them. I think the top branch in cop points is a lot of gun. Originally, a little bit of street fighting stuff, and then it goes into gun stuff, like how long you can have your slow mo, you know, so your slow down attack. And then the bottom line is just a lot of stuff like breaking into a car without setting off the alarm is one of the triads, I think. And then there's one you can get where, I can't remember if this one, they have another skill set which is called face points. Those you don't really get to spend, they just unlock as it moves forward, their passive abilities. Everything's passive, but these you just don't get to choose. And they give you stuff like, you get a valet at one point, which is you just call on your cell phone and say you need a car, and he'll bring one of your cars to you, anywhere you are. Which I found is not true. You actually have to be next to a road.
You can't bring it to a roof.
No, I was like 2 feet away from the curb, and I called him. He's like, I can't do that right now. And I was like, what the fuck? Why do I even pay you? So I walked to the road, and I said, okay, I'm going to try it again. He's like, oh yeah, I'm on my way. He pulls up in a little fucking motorbike. My shitty motorcycle. I'm just like, I own 5 sports cars and a really nice freaking motor. It's like high speed, like, you know, street bike, and you bring me this. What the fuck? Yeah.
You should fire him and get a different valet.
You can't. Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that, unfortunately. But either way,
go for it.
Stealing one of your crawlers.
I don't care.
Well, these two are attached, so... Oh, three, hey.
Do you want some, Justin?
Yes.
So, you're going through... Like I said, it's broken down into 4 basic city areas. You got, like, Aberdeen, The Point, Kennedy, and some other place. And they're pretty fucking big, for the most part. I mean, you really don't realize the size of them until you're, say, off in the distance and you look at them as you're driving up to them on the highway or something like that, and you just realize how big this fucking city is. Well, you're out on a boat going around the island area. There's shit going on all over the place. You can hijack any car. You have environmental attacks you can use, which is funner than melee. If you're fighting somebody, you can grab them. And when you grab them, if you hold down A, you can run around the map with them. But as soon as you grab them, certain objects will turn red. And that lets you know that you can do something with that object if you have them grappled. Like, if there's a dumpster, you can slam them into it and flip them up in. If there's a car, any car, if you take them to the side of it and hit B, you'll drop kick them to the ground, open the door, shove their face in it with your foot, and just start bashing the shit out of them. And there's, like, blood everywhere, and you hear it, and it's horrible. If you go up to the trunk, you'll actually open the trunk, throw them in, and close it, which completely gets rid of them. Any of these attacks basically kill the person for the most part. It just takes them out of the fight. Recycling boxes, you can lift them up and throw them down on them, and broken bottles will just take them out. Payphones are one of my favorites. You take a guy...
He's kind of like Naughty Bear?
Sort of, yeah. There's 2 different payphone attacks. If it's a street phone without a box around it, you'll grab the receiver and just start beating them in the fucking face with it over and over again until they're pretty much a bloody mess. And throw them off to the side. If it's a phone box, you'll throw them into it. When they walk back forward, you do a jump kick into their chest and just slam them into the actual payphone, pretty much probably breaking their spine. You know, and they're dead. There's different types of enemies. There's brawlers who you can grapple and beat up. There's guys who you can't grab because if you do, they counter automatically. Those are guys with knives, anything like that. There's big guys who are kind of the tanks in the battle. You can't grab them. If you try and fight them head on, your single punches, like light punches, don't do too much damage, and they'll just straight up counter you and pick you up and slam you down. You have to do heavy attacks on them. Then there's the gunplay, which comes in later on. It kind of goes in phases where the first part it's all street brawls. As you move into some of the outer line areas, some of the other cities, you'll notice a couple gun battles. And they don't totally fuck you. They usually leave a gun somewhere nearby that you'll, traipse across before you get into a gun battle. That's one thing that irritates me is you really can't carry guns with you all the time. Because, like, if you're lucky enough to have weapons, you'll carry 2 guns at most. That's your handgun, which you can put away. And then, say, an assault rifle, which you have to carry. If you access something like your... If you go back to your apartment and you access your TV to use the hacked cameras that you've hacked throughout the island, your gun will... the assault rifle will drop, and it, when you back out of it, it's gone. It's just completely gone, which kind of sucks. Let's see. The gun in your inventory will disappear every once in a while. Yeah. Which,
that must be a bug.
I don't know if it has to do with certain things, like they don't want you to carry weapons all the time, because you're not really a weapons guy. You're always talking about how you don't like to kill people. Right. So maybe that's why they don't want to give you the option to do it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. They have a bunch of minigame stuff, like there's racing, which is actually pretty fun. It's kind of a bitch. You have different types of racing. You have these little... What are those little tiny smart cars? The little tiny ones?
Smart cars?
Yeah, is that what they're called?
They're called smart cars.
They are? Okay. And we actually have one of those. And they have drag races for them. Which is kind of funny.
Only in Hong Kong.
Only in Hong Kong. I actually think that is something they do. But you can drag race in those. You can race in actual street cars. You can do motorcycle racing as well. The cool thing is unlike some of the other racing games, they actually have street traffic that you're having to go through intersections while cars are around oncoming traffic, as well as traffic going in the same direction, and you'll have pedestrians and shit, and you can just mow them down if you want.
Yeah.
But it becomes a pain in the ass, and you can actually use it to your advantage. So if you're coming up on a car and you're in the lead position, you can come up and fishtail it. It'll swerve behind you, which will basically create a blockade for all the other cars to have to go around, or they'll just slam into it. You can actually take cars out of the map. When I was doing a motorcycle race just recently, I came up behind the guy that was in the lead. I couldn't get past him. His bike was just way too fast. But I could get right up next to him, just behind him. So I got right next to him and just started to drift. And I fishtailed him as we were coming up to a telephone pole. He swerved a little bit, and he hit the front of the telephone pole. Yeah, hit the telephone pole with his front, and it was just, bam, right off to the side. And I went straight through the finish line, like, last second.
Awesome.
And that's what they actually kind of want you to do, I guess, because you'll notice, like, the first sets of races you run into are all really easy. Once you get to what I call the second act, which is whenever you upgrade your apartment to this really nice place, the races become, like, much harder. You have to replay them several times just to figure it out. And I think a lot of it is you just have to play dirty at that point and fuck as many people up as you can.
Yeah.
You know, you can't totally destroy the cars, but you can definitely swerve them out. You can, as you're driving, you can use your X button. Well, if you're at a certain speed, you can slam into cars. And you can, as you're coming up to, like, say, an alley, and they'll make you race through alleys, which really sucks. You can slam somebody into the wall so they get all the way, you know, not to the very back.
Yeah.
And motorbikes in the alley suck ass because there's always a pileup. And your only hope is that you're far enough ahead that nobody gets right next to you. And they will get right next to you and just start slamming into you. And you can't do it back, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know, they don't give you that thrust option on motorbikes.
Thrust option?
That's kind of what it kind of... It's basically ramming. That's what they call it. But they don't give you that option on motorbikes, only on in cars. Which sucks. Cool stuff. Hijacking. If you're on a motorcycle or in a car, you can't do it on a moped, unfortunately. Which would just be awesome. But you can drive down the highway in a car or down the street and open the car door while you're going. So you can use that to actually knock people over if you want, which is fun. But if you do it when you're kind of next to a car, you can press the A button and you'll jump out of your car onto the top of the next car and crawl along it, throw the person out, and take over their car. And you can do that to steal, like, armored trucks, stuff like that. If you see a car that you want to use for running over a whole bunch of people, that's better than the one you have. Same thing with motorcycles, you can do it with that. Pretty fucking fun. So
overall, you're having a lot of fun with this.
Yes. It's definitely a badass game, and I wish I would have picked it up last year, but I just didn't really have the time, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be something I really wanted to get into, especially with all the other games I was playing at the time. So
yeah,
and I want to finish it before the end of the month, since Aliens comes out next month. Oh yeah,
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So did you play anything else?
Dark Souls.
Oh,
not joking.
I know you already said that you didn't play any Dark Souls.
Maybe I lied. No, I didn't play any Dark Souls, but man, what a great fucking
game.
Yeah, where are you at in Dark Souls?
Man, I'm about halfway through my second run through.
I will see you guys later.
So where are you at, Holly? Are you? Start screen? Yeah, I haven't even... Yeah, but I'm going to get her for your birthday already came up and Christmas shit. For Easter. I'm going to buy you Dark Souls.
Yay. Thanks. Ugh. So you didn't play anything else?
I don't think I did. I think that was pretty much it, yeah.
Hey, Holly, what about that? To light up Minecraft torch.
Dude, that
nice.
Is awesome.
$35.
Damn. Probably just make one of those.
Now, I'm going to throw out a proposition. I say we don't take a break.
I say we do.
I say we don't. You just want to go grab your phone.
No, I'm not going to grab my phone.
Whatever.
But I want to take a break.
I don't feel like taking a break.
I could go for a really quick break.
Yeah, we'll do a quick one.
Jeez,
because I'm sitting there walking around, my legs are getting sore.
So lazy.
Okay, we'll see you guys in a minute. Back to the Tellcast.
From our break.
Yeah, it was a little bit longer. Well, wasn't too long.
That's what she said.
That is what she said.
Yeah. Poor.
So anyway, I guess we're going to go ahead and jump into some news.
Yeah.
Who has the most news? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Trent, what's your news?
Toby. You actually sound like... What's Toby? Toby. Also called Kunta Kinte. No, Toby is T-O-B-I-I. It's a new hardware software that they built for Windows 8 that they unveiled it at the Consumer Electronics Show. And what it is it's basically retinal-guided computer, you know, mouse. So you're basically... It can calibrate and scan your eyes, find them, adjust to them so they recognize them, basically. Not so much recognize them, but basically know how to track your eyes by how you naturally squint or anything like that.
Right.
And track your fucking retinas and actually see where you're looking. And right now, the way they have it built into the laptops is rather than using a mouse, you hold a button down whenever you want to access shit. So what you do is you look around. And without holding the button, and you have free look, and you just look at stuff like you normally do, your eye movement can go anywhere. When you find something you want to access, you hold this button down, and you stare at it, and it'll, once you're looking at it, it'll highlight it, and you lift the button up, and boom, it accesses it. And
then
you can
do
it on the next page, open emails that way. They're already selling it to television manufacturers to build into their television set, so it can actually scan you from across the room. And actually see you move around the screen. And one of the coolest things they show on the computer is the auto-scroll. So you're looking at a page, you're reading, and you go to hit the button to access it to scroll down, and it already knows what you want to do, and it starts scrolling the page down for you.
Damn.
So it's pretty badass. Of course, I'm sure that you're going to still need your mouse for highlighting stuff, copy, paste, stuff like that. So you can't really code anything with it. Yeah, you can't use it for making code. Just mainly for navigating through your computer. It's basically a novelty right now. That's all it really is.
Yeah.
That's where I'd rank it at. They showed some games that they had made to go with it, which I think was one where you're trying to protect Earth against asteroids going across the screen by moving stuff around. That's not really something, you know, too interactive, but it's a stepping stone, you know, for what the future probably going to be. Right now, the system is $1,000 to integrate into anything. But they said that as they actually start getting it built into laptops and everything else, the price will come down considerably very soon.
Yeah.
And that you might start seeing it on Windows 8 compatible laptops and maybe even some computer systems, since it's largely just the keyboard function that you're clicking.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. Very interesting.
Nice. You, Justin?
I see you're looking at the piston.
Yep, that's what I wanted to bring up, because I thought this was fucking cool.
You go with the piston. I know about three others they've already shown as well.
So, we talked about Steambox being a possibility, and then I thought it was quelled that it was going to be happening, but got some more information on the Steambox, and it's the piston, which is what?
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
It's not technically a Steambox, and there's about four of them.
So let me finish talking.
You go with this, and then I'll,
So this story is from today, and what it says is this piston is basically a, it's kind of like a Steam console, kind of like we've been talking about.
Yeah, modular component.
Yeah, and the idea is to let you upgrade, even a really noobish person can upgrade extra modules into it. But the starting price point on this is like $999.
Yeah.
Featuring a terabyte of solid-state hard drive space, being able to hook up to three monitors, and... Hold on just a second here. I had that just a second
ago. It's like the size of a fucking...
like, it's small.
Yeah, it's small. It's not very large. It's maybe...
Looked like it was about the size of a Rubik's Cube.
No, well, it's
about,
a little bit bigger.
About
than
two
that.
Rubik's Cubes put together.
Yeah, but it looks beautiful. It really does.
Yeah, but it's going to have a quad-core AMD APU with up to 8 gigs of DDR3 RAM and a terabyte of solid-state storage.
Yeah.
Of course, it'll have four USB ports, four USB 2.0 ports, four USB 3.0, optical audio out, quarter inch or eighth inch audio in and out for your, you know, your headset and whatever. Two mini display ports, and then four eSATA ports.
The back of the thing is
and
amazing.
And one HDMI out.
When you look at the back of it and you see the entire port layout, it takes up the whole back of it, and you just, you're just amazed by it. It looks basically like a giant, you know, piston in a way. It's cross-shaped, a little bit thicker in the middle, and when you turn it around, it's got these entire port sides just covered in all the...
Yeah, the entire backside is covered in ports.
And when they take it apart, is the cool thing is you get to see how they did it, and you get to see how the components all slide in there, and you can change things around in it. And it's just amazing the way that they... It's an ingenious idea, it really is. But these guys, what are the XI or whatever their fucking name is? I forget what they're called, the guys who make it. But they have other versions.
XI3.
Yeah, they have other versions of this thing that are basically pint-sized computers that you can use. And they just decided to model a Steam version that just has Steam, Big Picture and all that crap on it. And it's basically equivalent to one of their other, I think the XI7 that they already have out, which is about $1,000. That's where they're getting the price tag off of, is basically comparing it to the standard version that they have. So.
Well, and honestly, for those of us that already have something, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really neat because it is modular, and I guess the idea being that you can combine other units with it to upgrade the PC.
Yeah.
So it looks like it starts off as a Linux platform with the ability of going Windows as well. But really fucking cool idea. They're talking about being able to mount it on the back of your TV.
Yeah. Or like, actually on the side of another computer. They showed somebody who had mounted it on the side of a computer and had it, I believe, hooked up to that computer just to expand it, which was kind of interesting. So,
pretty cool idea. I'm really hyped about it. I'll probably pick one up.
Yeah. Is that all you got on that one?
All I got on that, I'll let you bounce back to you for a second.
Okay. This is the year of Steam. This really is. We knew that one day, one year would be an entire Steam year. This really is mounting up to be a Steam year. After last year, they announced that they were going to be diving into peripherals and making hardware for gaming.
Well, they were talking about gaze tracking a long time ago, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's finally actually coming to fruition. They're actually doing stuff.
Well, yeah, they had that Portal controller that was all motion-based.
Yeah, and that actually was a third party that developed it just for Portals, and they sponsored it. And I think that they loved what they did so much, and so that's a great idea. You know, we can come up with stuff like that. And Steam actually, at the CES, they actually unveiled a couple Steam-invented ideas for a Steambox. So it just wasn't the Piston. It's just not the NVIDIA Shield, which we're going to talk about here in a second. They showed a couple of different things that third-party developers made, as well as Steam came up with somebody else. And they're basically covering their asses. I think they're trying to make Steam almost like Netflix, where if you have a game console, you can download it like an app, and it can cloud game to that console almost, is what it seems like they're ultimately wanting to do. But not like PlayStation, but just Steam-compatible stuff like the Piston or like the NVIDIA Shield. And if that's what they're planning on doing, what the fuck are you doing? You're
covering my face.
Why?
Because I have a really bad headache, and cigarette smoke is making it worse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put my cigarette
right
over here.
No, that's why. No. So
it's okay,
Ms.
Guys, no, it's fine.
You
it's
guys
fine.
Can smoke what you want, and I will.
How about you shut up?
Do this.
So, but anyways, the cloud gaming thing, they're just trying to basically cover their asses on multiple different console ideas. And when I say console, I mean these, not PlayStation or Xbox. I'm talking about these particularly, where it's built in almost like an app, where you can cloud it right over and start playing your games from your computer right onto these devices. And it'd be interesting to see them actually, for later on down the line with the new next-gen consoles, have something like that, if it's possible to do. Kind of like OnLive does with their games. It'd be amazing.
Well, I think consoles are just kind of the way for... I mean, consoles aren't cheap, but they're certainly cheaper than PCs.
Mm-hmm.
I think consoles are an easy way for somebody who's not real tech savvy to jump into this stuff. I think the Steam Box being at $9.99 obviously is an expensive piece of hardware.
Yeah.
But the whole modular idea is a good way of kind of breaking into that casual market of people that don't necessarily know how to upgrade stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, the Piston wasn't anything particularly developed by Steam just for Steam. It's modeled after stuff that company has had for a while. They just built one that's supposed to be for Steam. That this is it's just like their other model, but they're saying that this one we want to kind of focus more on Steam and help promote Steam as a Steam Box. Because one of the other things they have is the NVIDIA Shield, which you and I were talking about. A fantastic
idea. It's basically
idea.
A controller with a screen.
I know. It's a fucking portable controller with a 5-inch touchscreen fucking screen. It's OLED, I do believe, organic. And it looks like an Xbox controller. It's got a headphone out as well as speakers built into it. It's got an HDMI port on it, so you can plug it into your big screen TV, so you can just fold the screen down, not even use it. You know, and it'll actually cloud your Steam games right over to the little screen or on your fucking TV.
Nice.
And it's you can play it within your house. I think it also has a terabyte hard drive? No, I can't remember.
No,
I know it's got an SD hard. That's what it's got, an SD card reader built into it. So I don't know that they haven't really gotten the details of if you can install games through that or not, but they basically were focusing on the cloud aspect of it, and it runs Android, pure Android. And I was like, that's a brilliant fucking idea.
Quick shout out to somebody that I finally took advantage of something he gave me. Finally got the Steam app that Bulgurk sent me ages and ages and ages and ages and ages ago. So thank you, Bulgurk.
Nice.
Finally using a smartphone, now I can use it.
But this is definitely, as I said, this is a year for Steam. If this stuff... also, the thing with the NVIDIA Shield, it's supposed to be out second or third quarter this year. And the price tag on it, I remember you looked that up. Do you remember what it was? It was like cheap as shit.
What was it?
Was it like, I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It was under $100 was the thing. Because all it is a controller and a screen.
Yeah.
And it runs completely off of your Steam. I think it's got some built-in, I think they're wanting to put Netflix onto it. Yeah, they're wanting to put Netflix and Hulu onto it as well, which again, those are pay accounts that run off of cloud from your computer. So there's really nothing built into the system itself, from what I can tell. It's just all cloud. And works inside of your house. So if somebody's on the computer, you can walk away and access your Steam through that. If you're somebody who shares your computer, it's a brilliant idea and it's awesome as shit. So I'm loving the crap out of that.
Let's say side note on that. Did you see that the Ouya's right now? The Ouya is kind of going. Is already in developers' hands at this point.
Oh yeah.
I think that thing sold like 8.5 million or raised 8.5 million through Kickstarter.
Nice.
So, new Android device coming out soon.
Yeah, that was the Android home console thing that plays
for $99.
Yeah, that plays all the game apps and stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of them are based off like the Infinity Engine, which is a little bit not quite the same quality as like Xbox and stuff like that, but
it's not bad though. I mean,
for $99 though, that's not a bad deal.
No. It's like Prince of Persia Forgotten Sands kind of quality, like 2009. Yeah, 2009 games. It's not bad at all.
Not bad for the price point.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to bring up real quick, everybody knows I'm a big Fallout fan. So the guy that played Three Dog, voice actor, what the hell is his name?
Three Dog, yeah. That guy.
Eric Deliams, I guess. Anyways, Three Dog says that he's going to make a reprising role here very soon.
Oh,
so
really?
So Fallout 4 is in the works.
Nice. So it's going to... Well, if he's doing Three Dog again, maybe it'll take place in Seattle or at least somewhere close to it.
Actually, I got more news on that.
Oh, really?
Boston.
Oh, nice.
So that was found out because somebody found Bethesda people researching the city.
Uh-huh.
So that looks like it's going to be based in Boston.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. You get to see, like, Liberty Bell and all that shit.
Just think it's funny, like, how people kind of complained about New Vegas being in the desert while all the other games were in the desert.
Yeah.
But going to another city might be kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm
all about Fallout, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's one of the best game series. Every game's always been a treat, so especially with the advent of the new game engine they've been running on, you know, with Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas.
I just want to see it on a next-gen console. I mean,
yeah,
the engine they were using before, just using the Havoc physics engine, which is outdated as shit at this point. I mean, Dark Souls uses it, the physics engine, but the actual game engine that you, the whatever texture mapping they're doing on that engine is old as hell. I mean,
yeah.
It looks decent on PC, but nothing this gen, you know? I mean, it's still looking a little bit last gen.
Have you heard anything about what Dark Souls 2 is doing for their engine, or are they going to stick with
I haven't. There hasn't been any news, man. It's been all...
They just showed that one fucking trailer, which is badass. The trailer's badass.
Yeah, no, it probably has nothing to do with the game.
Holly walked away. And she was like, fuck this, I'm going to get
it. Said Dark Souls, and she's like, fuck it.
Yeah, she's like, fuck it. Okay, so Three Dog's making a comeback. That's kick-ass. I like Three Dog. As much as I love Wayne Newton,
yeah,
especially
Wayne
in
Newton,
New Vegas, yeah, I loved him. But Three Dog was just, I liked Three, because it seemed like the character interaction with Three Dog, since he would constantly update people on what you're doing. Like, if you didn't say that little kid from that fucking Town of Fire answer says, oh, I left Billy inside the fucking box. I was like, fuck it. He's like, he left little Billy sitting there in that town. What a scumbag. You're just like, oh, fuck yourself, Three Dog. That place was covered in fucking ants.
Well, I like what Obsidian did with it. I really like both companies for different reasons.
Oh yeah, Obsidian's
really
got a good off-putting humor. And
I kind of hope they keep some of the humor that Obsidian left with it when they do the Bethesda version of the game.
Yeah,
but both companies did an equally good job, just completely different.
Yeah,
I'm one of the people that's more of a fan of New Vegas than I was the other, but and that's mostly because of Old World Blues.
Yeah,
but I mean, either way, I mean, Fallout 3 is a fucking awesome game.
Yeah, Fallout in general is a great game series. So.
But anyways, moving on. Terra is another MMO. The new Rising version of the MMO is going to be available without subscription next month with no level cap or content restrictions for new players.
Nice.
Going free to play.
Nice.
We'll see how that plays out. I'm sure you have to buy the game itself, but...
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Terra.
Yeah. There's been some other stories from CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, but nothing that was really... they're all noteworthy, but nothing that was really, like, mind-blowing. Like, the Toby stuff, I wouldn't even say is not mind-blowing. It's just nice to see that we're starting to move in that direction.
Yeah.
For retinal-controlled computers. To be honest with you, I don't see any practical application for them other than a fucking novelty right now.
Yeah.
Because you really can't... Yeah, you know, the technology is not there to really pick up on stuff, like I said, like copy and paste. You really can't do it. And you're still using your finger on the keyboard to actually control when you're trying to select an object. And it can be like the Kinect, where if you stare at an object for too long, it goes ahead and activates it. Yeah, that's how the Kinect works, and that kind of gets annoying because you're sitting there just, you stop to read something at Netflix, and you have your hand hovering, and that's when you know it starts playing, you're like, oh shit, you know, I just totally zoned out.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to bring up something that I figured would be worthy of discussion, and it won't take too long. Let me make sure I don't have any, let me bring up one other regular story before we get into that. We're talking about new pieces of hardware.
Yeah.
Razer Edge gaming tablet starts at $1,000. It's a Windows 8 tablet. Basically includes a 10-inch touchscreen, Intel i5 chip, which is pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah.
4 gigs of RAM, and I guess there's a $1,300 version that includes more stuff.
That's basically gaming level.
It's a gaming level tablet. Yeah, $1,300 version gives a i7 chip, 8 gigs of RAM, and 128 gigabyte or 256 gigabyte SSD RAM on the video card.
That pretty much is gaming right there.
I mean, that's almost what I have on my like home PC.
That's like play. You can play stuff like Prototype on that. Left 4 Dead 2.
Dude, you could play anything Fallout, I'm playing Dream, now aside Fallout from Witcher. New Vegas. Like anything other than Far Cry or Witcher, you could play on that.
Yeah, probably. You probably couldn't play Sleeping Dogs because I actually had to tone down. I can play it on Ultra, but I have to tone down the anti-aliasing a little bit. Otherwise, it chugs the whole thing. Because graphically, it's.
It's probably you just probably need a graphics card, a little bit more memory as well.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Everything else looks fine. It's just the anti-aliasing's a son of a bitch on it. I just have to turn it down to high. I just can't turn it to ultra on anti-aliasing. But anyways, but yeah, you can play a wide range of fucking games on that. So it's just getting Windows 8 to actually run it.
So if I had that much extra money, I might take it out with my business trips.
Yeah. I have $600 credits at Finger Hut.
You have a $600 credit at Finger Hut?
Approved credit that I still have to pay back. It's a credit. Oh. Yeah, they gave me $600 credit where I can go off and I can buy, like, I can instantly buy anything I want that's under $600 and just pay it off. So I don't know if I really want to. Because you end up paying, like, $100 over whatever you're. Like, I was looking at PlayStation 3 to get a new one. And they're already on there, like, I think $275, and in the end you end up paying, like, $360. So unless you pay it off like that, you know.
Well, the last bit of news is, obviously, there's the horrible event that happened in Connecticut with the shooting and everything. A lot of people have kind of overreacted, and I think some people are playing some politics over there. Mm. They've almost gotten to the point of book bans. Mm. So I wanted to raise awareness for this because, again, it was just pointing the finger at something that doesn't happen that often, and I think this is a little bit ridiculous. There's a spokesperson for a group that was out to destroy all violent video games and DVDs and music. Now, I guess his name's Dick Fortunato. Basically, what they're
Fortunate
going...
Fortunate Dick.
Sorry. But, anyway, the new joke... The dude was wanting to take, I guess they'd set up a collection point at a drive-thru theater, and they were going to give people the opportunity of just basically destroying everything, which I thought was a little bit fucking overboard. Right now, though, fortunately, you know, I guess I say fortunately, right now there's some legislation, I'm not going to name the senator or whatever the fuck, but basically, there's a task force out right now, I guess, because of this. Violent video games begin to come up on the radar, along with gun control, as things that people shouldn't own. Or, you know, again, it's basically a censorship thing.
Yeah.
And anytime I start seeing things like this, I start thinking, oh, people are just playing politics again. And it starts to get on my nerves. Just because, I mean, it's just like the whole assault rifles or assault weapons ban that's been going around and everything else.
Well, they have that thing, I think it's in, was it, okay, well, I don't remember if it's here or not, but... They're paying, like, anybody who brings their gun in, they give them, like, $250 if they come and they turn their gun over, at which point they take the gun and melt it down.
Yeah, but I think it's for every 60,000 guns turned in, one life is saved.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those things where...
It's politics.
Yeah, I look at it, I'm like, $250, all you're really doing is... And it's only people who have legally registered guns.
Yeah, but...
And I'm like, you're taking people who have a legally registered gun, who, if your gun is legally registered in your name, you're most likely not going to commit a crime with it.
Yeah.
You're going to use it for home defense, and you're at a time where economics are slightly bad and people are kind of hurting for money, you're offering the $250 for a gun. They could probably get more selling it somewhere else, but they might not have the time, so... It's kind of preying on the needs, you know?
Well, no, it's irritating because, like, the assault rifle ban that's out there, the assault weapons ban... Basically includes an assault weapon is not based on what it can do, it's based on what it looks like.
Yeah.
So any gun that has a pistol grip, any rifle that has a pistol grip, bayonet mount, which who carries that, flash suppressor, or telescoping stock is considered an assault rifle.
Yeah, which is fucking stupid. That's almost the same thing as racial profiling.
Well, it's just like shotguns. If it has a telescoping stock, pistol grip, or can hold more than 5 rounds. I get the 5 rounds thing, but...
Yeah.
The telescoping stock and pistol grip are nothing more than appearance.
Yeah.
They're vanity items. And yeah, because of that, it's considered an assault rifle.
They don't
rifle.
Really increase the deadliness of the gun. The gun itself
right.
is deadly.
For handguns, it's threaded barrels made to attach a barrel extender or flash suppressor, or it weighs more than 50 ounces. That's an assault weapon.
Yeah. That's dumb.
It doesn't make it any more deadly, but it's considered an assault weapon.
I think people tend to forget that fully automatic weapons are pretty much outlawed to anybody except for somebody with a Class 3 license. So.
See, I think it's like it's almost like racial.
Like how many like how many people do you know like have a fully automatic M4? Like
no, your dad doesn't. There.
No, my dad doesn't have a Class 3.
Yeah, so
my dad is a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah,
can't get a Class 3.
I forgot your dad has that.
He has an AR-15.
Yeah,
it's a semi-automatic rifle that holds. Well, he has different magazine sizes, but the main one that he uses is a 5-round mag, which you could hunt with that.
See, I don't remember ever seeing it, so I was just trying to remember. I remember your dad has guns.
Remember all those gun pictures I took a while back?
Yeah, well, I got one with me with the AR-15, the one with the floating
handgun.
Yeah, floating accurate. Yeah, and we had the shotgun. That wasn't
shotgun.
Scott.
That
Scott's?
That was Scott's double barrel.
Yeah,
that thing is kick-ass.
Double barrel granny shotgun.
That thing looks cool as shit.
That thing was like huge, long. It's got the old pop it open, load it up, bring it back. You have to fucking cock both of the fucking barrels, and you can you can set one off or set both off. It's badass fucking shotgun. And he had that, and then we had the 9mm daily they brought over.
Angela's 9mm.
Yeah, that was it. And that was Charles Daly 9mm. Because Scott has a little pussy ass 38 special.
That cowboy.
The one that
he made up for it with a shotgun.
Yeah, the grip stops like above my pinky, so I have to hold it like that. Like, freeze! You know, Irish cops used to use it, but Irish guys are short, so it kind of fits in their hands. So. 38 specials. Man, cops nowadays don't even use those. But anyways.
But I guess what I'm getting at, though, is a lot of this stuff is politics, and I want to get that point across.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if you're Libertarian, Republican, Democrat, whatever. It doesn't matter. I want people to see through the bullshit that it's not games and violence and everything else. These are ways for people to raise awareness on something, to make themselves look important, to make themselves have an agenda, to get themselves reelected the following year.
It's the same thing as, remember when...
It's just like big tobacco versus big alcohol. Nobody gives a shit about big alcohol, but they give a shit about big tobacco.
Well, here, let's bring up a comparison that's actually entertainment really quick. And this is the same thing as when they threw a huge fit back in the 90s, and it was larger than the 90s that it happened, but it happened before that even as well. It just wasn't that big of a deal. It was still an important thing, but it didn't get as much publicity, was a kid getting shot by a cop because he had a toy gun that looked too real. And they made a huge deal about that in the 90s, and that after that, if you look, every toy gun out there, even if it's black, it has to have that orange fucking tip on the end of it to show that it's not a real gun.
Well, remember, we were kids, man. They had, like,
fucking machine guns and fucking Uzis and all kinds. And I was making that comment to somebody. Because they were like, I don't think kids should play with toy guns. They're like, I think toy guns breed violence.
There's a lot of little... Yeah, and look how violent me and you are.
Yeah, and that's why I said to him, I said, dude, I grew up in the 80s.
I will headbutt a fucking asshole in a pit, but I don't shoot people.
Yeah, but I was like, I grew up in the 80s. That was the decade of unadulterated toy guns and Rambo knives. It was... Everything was about violence, but you don't see me opening fire on a preschool.
Did you ever have BB gun wars with your friends?
Oh, yeah. We had BB gun wars. We had all kinds of shit. But you don't
nobody shot anybody's eye out.
No, nobody shot anybody's
eye out. I came home with a shitload of welts.
Yeah, on my knees and on my ankles. Yeah, around my side. Because everybody was shitty shots back then. But, and even if you got hit in the eye, it didn't kill you. It's not that they came right up on you and shot it right in your fucking eye.
Nobody executed anybody.
No, that's fucking stupid and dangerous. They know how dangerous it is.
Speaking of that, though, man, there was a guy that just killed like 4 people just a mile from here.
Mm-hmm.
Execution style. Well, it was in the project, so.
Well, we've had we had
8 murders in 9 days.
Yeah, that was it. I was trying to remember if it was 8 or 9. Yeah, something. Truth is, by March, I think we usually have like 12 or so murders. It just so happens we had a murderer who took out a couple extra.
It sucks a lot because one of the people that got killed is actually my cousin's buddies, yeah.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
So, I mean, it's pretty crazy stuff. But, I mean, again, that person I'm pretty sure wasn't using something he bought at the pawn shop.
And he probably didn't play video games.
Well, I don't know about profiling, but video games are not set to a certain demographic. Video games are kind of universal. Case in point, there's a guy, one of my employees, or I guess ex-employee now, is this guy, it's like, he looks like, we call him Neil Armstrong. And the reason we do is because he looks like an astronaut. Like, he's way too built for a guy that's in his 30s, you know?
Yeah.
He looks like he works out every day. And for a little while, he was doing, like push-ups and shit in the middle of, like, work. Like, he'd be in between doing stuff. He'd be doing push-ups. I was like, dude, come on. It's the middle of work. But I profiled him thinking, this dude's a jock, you know, before I even knew him.
Yeah.
And then about 2 weeks after I had an employee, he came up to me. He knows that I like games. And he started talking about the whole Grand Theft Auto franchise. Like, yeah. Guy's in his mid-30s. He's playing Grand Theft Auto his whole life. He's like, started telling me all these details about GTA 5 that he found out that I didn't even know about. And it was just the case in point of that is he was one of those people that I profiled as a non-gamer that ends up liking games. And that's the thing. I mean, gamers aren't just us. You know, there are people that listen to this podcast that would consider themselves quote-unquote gamers, but it spreads across all creeds, you know?
Yeah, just like, you know, almost everybody listens to...
You look at, like, No Quarters. Like, if you saw those guys, you wouldn't think gamers.
Yeah.
You'd think professional dudes.
Yeah.
But those guys are all a bunch of fucking nerds like us.
Games span all cultural niches, just as Neil Diamond's listened to by everybody.
Well, I found out that...
Do you like Neil Diamond?
I like Neil Diamond, too.
See, there you go. Hey, Holly, you like Neil Diamond?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. We're three very different people, and we all like Neil Diamond.
But what I'm getting at, though, is it's just like I was finding out at work that people in management, like, you know Eden, Holly.
Yeah.
She, her and her husband both play World of Warcraft.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and they play it with other people in upper management. Like, I found out that World of Warcraft is really big about upper management for the most part, which is kind of funny.
Do they have a guild?
Yeah, they have their own guild. They're pretty hardcore,
too. They have the HR guild.
Now, the HR people don't have a guild, but I'm pretty sure Resource has their own guild.
Resources has a guild.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But,
are they really good on resource management? Do they have a full bank?
No, I think the resource manager, the guy that's over, like, basically staffing for the whole thing, probably has a spreadsheet out on, like, who allocates what for loot and everything else, I'm sure. Just funny, but...
Nice.
Yeah, gaming at this point, during this era, spans everybody. Everybody's a gamer at this point.
Your grandma's a gamer.
You know, your mom might be a gamer. Yeah. I don't want to stereotype it, but...
That old lady out there, in the middle of nowhere, no electronics, she's a gamer at heart. She's a rider in the storm.
Anyways,
if you watch more Kids in the Hall, you know that skit.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she's a Doors fan. The guy banging on a drum somewhere in Africa, he's never even heard the Doors.
He's a Doors fan. Yeah. Kids in the Hall are all
I fucking love that skit. It's like, I was thinking about picking up the new Bauhaus. Pussy! You need to buy the Doors. You can't just be a Doors fan. You gotta be born a Doors fan.
Not Kids in the Hall, but fucking Whitest Kids You Know.
Yeah, that's...
I started spreading that like wildfire around the office.
Yeah, that was... When I first found that show, I was just blown away. I was like, when did this come around?
Now, if Human Resources is listening, I didn't show them on company property.
There you go.
But I did show somebody the video for Nick a Dick.
Nick a Dick rocks.
Nick a Dick is hilarious. Because everybody's smoking these vapor cigarettes.
Yeah. That's why I do it work E-6. All day, man. I sit there and just puff on vapor cigs at work all day. So
anyways, I've been talking long. Do you have any more news, Trent?
Neil Diamond. He's pretty badass.
Holly looks like she's about to cry over there with her headache. So.
Aww. Anyways, we'll have some more news next week from CES the week rolls out.
I'll make a note on that, and we'll get started with some of the CES stuff and see if there's anything really cool.
Dodge the foot.
What we can do, though, is we can go through some of our responses to last week's question.
Yeah, sure.
Some emails. Do you want to do emails first or question first, Holly?
I don't care.
You don't care, do you?
Do the email first.
All right, we'll do the emails first. Let me log in email.
Oh, God, I thought you were ready.
Huh?
Not you, him.
Oh, no, I was writing.
All right. So, Ian wrote again.
Oh, of course.
Finally. He didn't write last week.
He didn't. He probably forgot we were on. I don't know. Doesn't matter. So, Ian says, to the nasty one, the Trent Show, the real American hero, and that little old Holly Badger. American hero's not here tonight. Happy New Year. Anyways, do you think the next-gen consoles will have either of the following two features? And I'm going to correct him on this. Probably me and you will both correct him on this, Trent.
All right.
Take a page out of the Dreamcast and rock out with a keyboard you can plug into a USB port. It can make texting friends messages on Live, for example, much more enjoyable.
Can I correct him?
Yes.
Hey, Ian, you can do that now, you fuckhead.
Me and Trent have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
That's why we're so fast at it.
Yeah, just plug. Because you like to message people in the middle of fucking Left 4 Dead matches. Plug a keyboard into the back or the front of your fucking Xbox, and you can use it not only to type, but navigate throughout your Xbox.
Yeah, tab helps you navigate pretty fast.
And escape lets you back out.
I thought
fucking
the escape,
retard.
No, escape pulls up the Xbox menu, right?
Yeah, but if you're already in something, you hit escape, it'll bring you
back out.
Yeah,
it'll bring you back out.
Yeah. And return is enter, motherfucker.
So there you go, Ian.
They
the
came
future,
up with that shit a long time ago.
The future,
man,
is no.
Move on.
So, other question he has. Two, a feature where, if your friends allow it, where you can watch them play whatever games they're playing and record it while making comments, then posting it all over the internet for laughs.
Now, Bungie kind of has that built in.
We are just crushing history.
Well, no, because Bungie's one of the other ones that does it. They had that built in with Halo, of course.
Yeah.
And you can actually not only go back and watch your own game, but if you've been playing a game with other people, you can actually watch it from their point of view. So you can actually cycle through the entire match, anybody's point of view, and see what happened. If you want to know who shot you at a certain point and you missed it on the screen, you can go back and look if you couldn't ask. And you can edit it, clip it, and upload it to Bungie's website to host as one of your videos, which is actually kind of fun. I wish more games had that feature, like Left 4 Dead would be awesome. I don't know if Call of Duty has it, because I never really play Call of Duty on console. In multiplayer, I have it on PC, I just never really play it too much. but that type of thing would be largely built into the games themselves, not so much into the console. So, because you're talking about having a DVR, they can basically pick up anything that's coming out of the output, basically. It's possible to do, but I don't know if they're going to fuck with it, since it's more the game itself would be the one to take care of it.
Also, if you really want to, Hoppage makes a capture card with component out for about $200, no hardware installation necessary, or you can go with the card that I got, which is about $200, mm-hmm. with HDMI in and out. You'll need a HDMI splitter.
Yeah.
To split it between your TV and your monitor, but that runs about $200.
Yeah, or you can just like,
and
you
then
know,
just you got to dither it down and do all the editing. But
yeah.
That's kind of a pain in the ass.
Or you can just be a PC player and grab Fraps, you know.
Yeah, Fraps works too. But I mean, if you want to do console stuff,
yeah, for console.
Hoppage cards, really damn good. After you see your Mass Effect videos, the quality on it is actually really high.
Yeah, actually, all of our consoles, like was it Mass Effect and Max Payne was PC. Syndicate was Xbox.
Yes, our Syndicate video.
Resident Evil Raccoon City was on Xbox.
Yeah, and that capture card does a pretty good job.
It does a great job. It really does. And
file sizes are fucking enormous, though.
Whenever I upload stuff to YouTube.
right. But it's like the raw video on that. It's about
gigs.
75 gigs per hour
on
the raw capture.
So whenever I get a file from him that he's captured of us, it's about 2 gigs when I bring it into my Platinum Vegas for editing. When I render it down, I render it down as an MP4 at 1080p. It ends up being probably about whatever. But once I upload it to the web, even at high res, 15 minutes, it's like a gig. A gig of streaming video that YouTube hosts for me. So,
if anybody has questions about that stuff, we can answer them off the show, because we've already kind of learned the hard way that there are certain, if you do unedited footage or whatever, or you do really raw footage without dithering, it can take like 9-10 hours.
Well, nowadays it's like the best way to go is just render everything down in MP4.
Yeah, for YouTube,
that
seems
to
work
pretty
well.
The most compatible YouTube, and that's what they're actually going to render it down to, anyways. Whenever they bring it down, and it's a much easier file to work with, and it just works out a lot better. I think when you send me stuff, it's MPEGs. You send me MPEGs.
Yeah, I send you MPEGs.
Yeah, that's what it is, and that's why they're so big. It's fucking MPEGs are just fucking.
Well, it's also completely raw.
Yeah, it's completely raw. All MPEGs are really are basically, you know what a GIF is out there, people. It's just images put in a series, and that's basically what MPEGs are. So they're just MPEG image files that are just put in a series and told to play at this frame rate, and so they can be fucking gigantic. So,
so we got another. Thanks, Ian. We appreciate the email.
Oh yeah.
We would like to make fun of you on the show. You can write us another email sometime.
Yeah.
Moonpeer writes in.
Oh really?
He says, best Christmas video game gift. He goes way back. He says, Nintendo 64 when I was a kid.
I figured out I got it like 4 weeks for Christmas, though, because my dad had been playing it. I knew because I found the old cellophane tear-off strip that had Nintendo printed down it, down the side of my dad's chair. So every lunchtime for about 4 weeks for Christmas, I would go home, pull it out of the closet, play it for an hour, before replacing it in the cupboard. I then had to throw a few rounds of Mario Kart 64 on Christmas Day before I fucking stomped everyone from that point onwards. Moon out.
Yeah, so I've actually played with him and his dad. And his sister, I think. And it's funny because his dad and his sister were in the same house, and means at his place, and I'm here. And his dad's mic stopped working or something, and you can hear him sitting there yelling at his dad, trying to get him to hear him through the fucking TV speaker. He's like, "You're on mute!" It's like really fucking loud. And then he's like calling his sister. He's talking to her, going like, "Tell him to take it off fucking mute, goddamn it." And he's trying to like tech walk his father via his sister on how to unmute shit, and it's just funny listening to them argue in British.
In British?
in little British accents. It's fucking hilarious, man.
I'm just going to say in British.
In British. It's just like a pilot. Well, the piloting room.
So that kind of strings along with what we were talking about. Our question was, what is the best game-related gift you received for Christmas? I guess we can. I never thought about going past. My past one would have been the original Nintendo. That's what got me into fucking gaming for the most part. The first time I had my own console. Because playing my dad's Atari, I never got to really mess with it. He'd always fucking hog it.
My mom would always buy me the wrong games. And, like, the year that I told her that I wanted Evil Dead, you know, the first Evil Dead game.
She buy you, like, fucking Lode Runner?
No, she got me Final Fantasy IX. Which I started to play and I hated the shit out of because it just wasn't as good as 8 and it wasn't as good as 7. I just didn't like it. Yeah, I just didn't like it. So I took it to a local store here in town where I knew some guys and I had them shrink wrap it for me so I could take it back to Walmart because they wouldn't take it open. So as the fellas at GameStop. not a GameStop that's open anymore. and I took it back and I traded out for Evil Dead. But the one game she got right for me. And I was so happy to get, and I played the shit out of, was Aliens 3 for the Sega.
So the actual best video game my parents ever bought for me was this game on Nintendo called Conflict.
Conflict?
And you had these little hexagonal squares you can move different pieces of equipment back and forth to. So you'd have, like, helicopters and tanks and everything. It's U.S. versus Russians.
I remember that, yeah.
This is the first strategy game I ever played. And I remember that. I fucking love that game.
Yeah.
So, and then I played Super Conflict after that.
My parents never bought me any video games. I always had to spend...
Else?
Huh?
Somebody else get
you? Maybe anybody. Yeah, somebody has parent issues. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
She just went on, right on my... never got me anything. We're talking about just a great Christmas gift ever from anybody.
That had to do with a video game.
Is it the Portal Gun?
It would probably be the Portal Gun.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that is a pretty good gift.
So, I'm going to read some of the responses.
It'd be a great gift if you had somebody a hibachi dinner.
Yeah?
You know, the portal gun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. I can taste that scallops and steak in my mouth right now.
Yeah. Soon, sir. Soon.
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 Soon. You want to play a game? All right, go fuck yourself. Have you seen that Grumpy Cat one?
No.
But we like Grumpy Cat. What?
I don't know.
I
want to move along.
Yeah, I am Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, you are. You look like a cat. So, Scuticus
thank
or Carasolus.
That's really nice of you. Thank you.
Scotticus says, all of them, thank you again, by the way. And we thank you, Scott.
What was it?
He said all of them.
No, what was the question?
What game gift did you get that you liked?
He said all of them. They said thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we have bought them.
Yeah, we buy games
all the time. So, I mean, I got them, what was it, Dirt 3 for...
if I don't get anybody else... Like, somebody that I see all the time, I'll get Scott something.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I grabbed him Dirt 3 last year. This year, I grabbed him something. I think it was Red Faction. Red Orchestra.
I sent him FTL.
Yeah, I got him Red Orchestra Game of the Year Edition, Red Orchestra 2, yeah.
So, Sophie says, I was very lucky, and I got an awesome gaming PC, which my boyfriend then built for complete, with color-changing lights.
Nice.
And then she says, stupid spell check, tell me I spelled color wrong, because she's spelling it British way.
Yeah.
She says it is color.
Damn British.
She's spelling it
O-U.
O-U-R,
yeah.
Yeah.
Collar.
Collar.
Color.
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 Jenny says, I knew that most people have already played this one, and I've seen it played all the way through, but I did get Fallout 3 Game of the Year.
Nice.
So, props to that.
It's a good game.
It is a fucking awesome game. I saw her on the other day. I was like, she's on Xbox still?
I've never on there. I never see her since I've been
I just started playing Fallout, and I was like, I didn't think she'd like that. That's pretty cool. Travis says, gift card for Steam. Jennifer says, Xbox Live. Melissa, or hold on, me.
We have a lot of chicks that listen to our show that answer questions.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Jesse says AC3. Sean says PS3. Melissa says, bought my son a replica portal gun. It was definitely his favorite. Steven
Calusi. Does everybody have fucking portal guns?
Except for you.
Except for us.
God damn, man.
Steven Kaluski says, I probably butchered your name, dude. I'm sorry.
I was going to butcher you.
Stephen K. said Persona 4. I've heard that's pretty good. Casey Cross says, my reloading set fucking crisscrossed all over the place. Jessica says, brother and sister-in-law got me an old school Nintendo controller wallet. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all we got.
It's probably one of those Mighty wallets. I have one of those. They're actually pretty cool. I never use mine.
So anyways, what's our question next week? This is where it gets fun.
Oh, you said you intro this one.
Yeah.
I was going to intro
it. You said that you could lead into that.
So good job.
No, I didn't lead into it,
fail.
So.
Yeah.
I can't remember the wording on the question, so why don't you start, Trent?
You guys don't even remember the fucking question.
I remember it. I was trying to refresh his memory.
I didn't write it down. I don't
Well, he doesn't remember it because it's just been so long since he's been there.
Oh.
Well, that was a way to intro it. Anyway. All right, so the question is, we've all had those awkward moments during intimate moments. Okay, we've all had those awkward things happen during intimate moments. And we thought it'd be funny, because, you know, we were talking about them, because they're hilarious. Hilarious. And so we wanted to know, what was the most awkward thing to happen while being intimate? It's not video game related, or it could be, who knows? Maybe you're getting head while playing Guitar Hero. It happens, people. So, yeah, Justin, what was the most awkward thing to happen?
Don't put it on me first. I want you to go, because I need to remember some stuff.
Holly.
The sex itself.
No, come on.
Oh, that's weird.
Get serious, you cold vagina bitch.
I don't think about things whenever I'm having sex, so, like, I'll say things that are really awkward.
Okay, well, the awkward thing could be something you did as well, so what was the most awkward thing you
said? I don't remember.
You didn't say come in my hot pocket, did you?
No. No, like I had said something about his mom during sex.
What the fuck, Holly? You're like,
I don't think about shit. Like, we're just carrying on a conversation while we're having sex, and I'm like, yeah, so how's your mom?
That's the last thing he wants to think about.
Were you fucking him, and you're just like, wow, your mom made such a good dinner tonight?
I don't remember.
She's really stacked for a woman her age. Really, it's just like, boom, Insta-soft. You see my mom? I have one that's similar to that somebody had mentioned something about my mom, but it was right after sex. Right after, like, we had just finished, and the chick said, your mama taught you some moves. And I was just like, I'm done. I can't cuddle with you or anything right now. She brought my mom up and her teaching me moves, which means that she fucked me at some point and taught me how to do so. That just ruined it for me. I'm done. So, yeah, that was pretty bad.
I can give one right now.
Okay.
It kind of happened to me. So, girl's trying to give me a striptease. She has wooden floors.
I was saying wooden leg. Like,
you just hear, like, the peg leg coming.
You just hear, like, stripping around with the peg leg. You hear a little scrape, like, right across the floor.
That was me, my bitch.
Sounds like a cane. What the fuck? Okay,
oh,
cane.
So wooden floors.
So wooden floor, and she's giving me a striptease, and she turns around and bends over and, like, completely fucking falls down and fucking breaks her bottom part of her shin.
Oh, ow.
Did you still fuck her?
No.
Okay, never
mind. That sucks.
No. She was hurt just a lot of pain.
But she's tried to stand up. The bottom part of her leg was at such a weird angle. It's like, I kind of recoil, and she's like, "What? It's your leg? Your leg? Your leg? Your leg? Your leg?"
So she kind of did have a peg leg after that.
All right, kind of broke up really soon. Yeah.
Did he even get to fuck her?
No.
Oh,
it was like the first time that was going to happen with this girl, and she started striptease.
Like that's a sign.
Like it was.
She breaks her leg whenever she's supposed to be.
You probably
would have
caught the clap. So you should be happy.
Yeah, it was one of those things that after that point I had a George Costanza moment. I was like, well, she's going to be kind of laid up for a while.
She has bad hands. Yeah, I don't want to be with her.
She has bad hands.
She has man hands. You ever see the man? Remember the man?
He keeps touching his face.
Yeah, she keeps like, oh, you got something in your mouth? Hey, let me get that for you. Just like this gigantic hand. I fucking love the man hands. She like grabs his hand, and just like completely cupped it in her fucking hands.
Look at his whole hand fit in his palm.
Yeah, I love man hands. That's awesome. Anyways, no, my real one, I'd already told you guys, so I'll tell it to them. Okay, so I was having sex with my ex-girlfriend. She won't be named. This is several years ago. This is like over 10 years
ago. Yeah, this was like when I was like 22.
Yeah, I was way younger at the time. I was probably about 20, 21, something like that. I can't remember. It's been a while. I remember I was working at St. Louis Bread Company at the time. And I started dating...
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, and I started dating this girl that was... Like, I met her through all the guys I knew, like Jay and stuff. She's the one that they could never hook up with. Nobody ever hooked up with her, because she just wasn't into anybody. And the first time I met her, her and I hit it off, and it was actually the first time we ever had sex with this kind of happened. And she wrote me a note while I was in the living room during this party I was having that just said, I'm going to go in your bed, you know, come cuddle with me. So I ended the night, you know, at that point. It's like 3 in the morning anyways, and most people are gone. I go in the bedroom, and we're making out. We end up having sex. She's on top of me, and she says, hit me. And she nodded her head down, like, aiming towards, like, not like gesturing towards her stomach. And I was like, did it hit you? And she's like, yeah, hit me. And so I gut checked her. Like, right?
Just fucking punches her in the stomach.
Yeah, it wasn't, it was like that. It wasn't really hard. It wasn't a rocky smash.
She's like,
yeah, basically. No, she fell off to the side. Just bam, she went with the punch and went off to the side. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, she goes, oh, I meant slap me in the face. And I was like, you told me to hit you. And I said, most people who want to get slapped ask to be slapped, they don't say hit me. You know, and they don't nod their head down like, hit me right here. Yeah, so I gut checked her right below the ribs.
Right in the solar plexus.
Yeah, basically, and it knocked the wind out of her and the dick. So, crude. Anyways, it didn't ruin the sex. We continued after that because I think she realized it kind of was her fault. So that's the only time I ever hit a girl.
She asked for it.
Yeah, and she asked for it. So I've slapped the shit out of a couple of girls, but they asked for it during sex, too.
Yeah.
So I actually busted one of their lips one time, slapping, because that's how hard they liked it. I always felt really weird doing it. And I actually did it out here in this living room while you were in there, and she was giving me head. Thankfully, you didn't come out here to get a drink. So
like, that would have been really awkward. Slapping a bitch in the face?
Well, she took my dick out of her mouth. She was like, slap me. And I was like, I already knew she liked it really hard, so I was like, like right across the face, split her lip open. I was like, oh shit, hopefully she doesn't call the cops. Because I was like, even though she asked for it, it's going to be really hard to prove that. So, yeah, my fucked up sex life.
That's a showstopper right there.
Yeah, I know. But I don't abuse women very often.
Very often.
No, shut up. Anyway.
Yeah. It's always verbally abusive, though.
Oh, I'm totally fucking... You're so fucking retarded. I'm so verbally abusive, it's ridiculous.
Not at all.
I leave bruises on the inside.
That's when no one can see.
You can't photograph those for evidence. Anyways.
Or restraining order.
Mm-hmm. So what else do we have? Yeah. Shoutouts?
Well, that's our question for everybody.
Yeah. There it is.
Since we have no minors that listen to the show, what is the most awkward thing that you did or somebody else did or that happened? while being intimate. Or even right after, it doesn't matter. So, or even right before, just something that was hilarious. And if it's video game related, you get extra points.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not looking for misogynistic bullshit. We're just looking for something funny.
She was giving me head while I was playing guitar here, and I went to do star power and ended up smacking her in the face with a whammy bar. Yeah, poked her eye out.
So, really, the only thing we got are new games?
Yes, which here was it early next month is Aliens Colonial Marines.
So, we just got some stuff like that coming out. This week, we have Fable Journey on Xbox Live Marketplace. We have Earth Defense Force for Vita. Not bad. Next week, we have Devil May Cry for PS3 and Xbox 360. And that's all we pretty much got this month.
What's the PC version coming out for that?
The following week.
Okay.
So, that's one of those ones I'd recommend you play in the demo to see if you like it or not. I haven't gotten around to it.
I haven't been interested in Devil May Cry since, the second game. So
that was, 2002 or something?
Yeah, I know.
It's been a while.
I know. I just don't really get into the whole...
I like combos.
Juggling combo. Yeah, it just gets... It's like Bayonetta. That's one of the things that really turned me off from the game. Not only was it just a horrible story with really shitty acting, but on top of that, just the whole juggling enemies.
Well, some people will probably argue against that, but more so than that, I'm gonna check out the demo to see what the reimagining's like.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
The trailer was enough for me to say no for right now.
I don't know. I'm into big boss battles and shit.
I'll pick it up for cheap later on. It's just him jumping through his trailer in slow-mo, and he's putting on a shirt as he's just flying through the trailer in his jeans, and then he comes out and he puts his jacket on, then he pulls out the guy's like, no. I'm done with this.
There's a lot of, almost nude stuff in that too, huh?
Yeah, I was just kind of like, I've had my fill of Vanquish and Binary Domain. I don't need...
Man, I want to play Binary Domain.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's our new games for the week. Not a lot going on. I may pick up Devil May Cry. I may pick up a... No, I'm not picking up a Wii U this week. It'll be 2 weeks from now.
Are you going
to
pick up Aliens, Colonial Marines?
I want to play it with other people. Nobody else will have a Wii U besides me.
No. Pick it up on PC. That's where me and Scott are grabbing it.
Oh, yeah, but that's a month away.
I know. I'm just saying I'm planning ahead. I told him I want him to play Hudson on my team. Game over, man, because he fits perfectly with it. Scott does. The guy who just constantly has to say the shit that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pointing out the obvious there, man.
So, shout out to our friends. Of course, we got, hey, Scott. He's over at thecarouselpodcast.com. Along with John and some other people there, we got the Elseworlds podcast, which we've had various members on this show, and we have For the Love of Gaming, as well as bmfcast.com, noquarters.net, and tvgp.tv. They do good things.
Mm-hmm.
Keep track of us on Facebook at facebook.com/tiltcast. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/tiltcast. Find us on the webs at tiltcast.com. Find us on Stitcher, just search Tiltcast. Find us on iTunes, doing the same exact thing. And, of course, you can email us at teabag@tiltcast.com.
And our gauntlet,
this week,
the old man forgot. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to do Mass Effect multiplayer.
Three multiplayer
on Xbox 360. Look for Trent at Gorgasm23 and Holly if she gets her internet up. Mainly look for Trent because I know for sure he'll be on at that time.
Yeah, was it Jen?
Ten.
I'll try.
I get off work at 10, so I'll be here probably shortly thereafter.
I'll probably be on at 9:30, so just to be early.
Yeah. So find Gorgasm23, and of course you can friend us on the webpage. Just look at
for game updates and all that.
Yeah.
Plus to grab all the new maps because they're free. So grab them, people.
Yeah. All the multiplayer shit's free.
Yeah.
So that we're getting the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See you guys next week.
See you later.
Or Saturday.